United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 11 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. And Jeff and Sticks are here in the studio with me. I'm missing Ben. I think he's MIA. Hope he's doing okay.
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard anything out of him.
I haven't heard anything about him. I'm quite sure he's doing pretty good. No good news is always good news.
Yeah.
And he was on Facebook yesterday with his niece.
That's good.
And we're here, and we want you to be there. Call your friends and family, neighbors and all that, and tell them. You didn't even turn your head.
Down.
Down from what? A mic? Jeez, oh man.
Oh, great queen, Tracy.
I turned your mic off. No. Anybody that does that and knows better. No. Too bad. No. So you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Today is the 11th of August, 2014, and it's 10 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. And since there was no other music to be played except for Al Jarreau, we went to Happy.
Question.
What?
Is everything still going to happen tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh, great, and queen of the airways, Tracy. I give my morning oblation to you. Salami.
Don't do that.
Bologna.
No. And get that crazy looking hat on. Black and gold.
Well, turns out a guy that I went to high school's kid was drafted by the Lions.
Well, Detroit.
Yeah.
Cool.
Actually got to help, and he was making jokes on Facebook this weekend about helping beat up on the Browns.
Yeah. It's a nice pastime. But you know what's really funny? I got to ask you a question. It's not funny.
Okay.
This is really tragic.
Yeah.
Okay, now, if you are in a car.
Right.
And the car crashes. If you're on a freeway.
Right.
And the car crashes.
Right.
Do you get out in the middle of the freeway?
No.
Okay.
Depends.
Hold on. Stop, Jeff. No, I'm walking somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're on the freeway, you're only doing about 75, 80, even if you know, steady's like 75, 80, 80, 65, maybe 45. But usually, you know, the officers used to be on the driver's side of the car on the freeway. They now go over to the passenger side.
Right.
The young man in NASCAR, Now, I heard it. I didn't see the actual.
Wait, question. It wasn't NASCAR, though.
Oh, well, hold on. Okay, well, he got a race car. It was a race something.
Right.
He got out the car. He got in a crash.
Right.
He got out the car. Now, there is an infield, and then there's an outer field, or outer track, right?
The racing groove is down lower than where his car was sitting, yes.
Why did he go towards traffic?
Because he was angry.
And he started pointing at the car?
Yeah.
Does that make for – how fast are these cars going?
They were under caution, so depending upon who you listen to, between 35 and 50 mile an hour.
Oh, no.
Is that all?
No.
They were slowed down. They were under caution already from the accident.
How fast did those cars go?
No. When he got hit,
Between 35 and 50 mile an hour, depending on who you listen to.
Well, why was
they were under caution?
Well, why was he standing in the middle of the track?
Because he was angry.
Okay, let's see.
He felt like he was slighted by Tony Stewart.
Okay, and I'm slighted by Tony Stewart, but just because I'm slighted, I don't stand up in the middle of how many cars are out there?
Probably 30.
You don't stand up in the middle of them, like in the middle of a crosswalk?
Well, not only that. I mean, drivers do this all the time. They'll get out of their cars and they'll scream and holler and point. But this kid ran down the racing surface in front of Tony Stewart's car. It wasn't like he was standing up. If you see, like, and they've been showing footage all weekend of different drivers doing the same type of thing in sprint cup racing. See, that's the, for people who don't understand, this was a sprint car.
What's a sprint car? Explain.
A sprint car is a small, almost like a go-kart. It's about 600 horsepower.
A go-kart?
Yeah. They're very small. That's what they race up at Sharon Speedway. That's what Dave Blaney started out racing. They're a short car. They've got a wing on a roof. They race on dirt, primarily race on dirt. They go. They speed up very fast, and they slow down very fast. And what they've been doing all weekend is they were showing footage of these Sprint Cup drivers, which is the top series in NASCAR, doing similar things, but the difference is they were not walking down into the racing group. I mean, race car drivers are very emotional people.
Okay. I got emotion.
I think they're spoiled brats is what I think.
But,
you're racing a car at 100 miles an hour. Somebody could bump you, okay? It's possible in a pack of 30 people.
Well,
so I mean, this
right.
is just stupid.
Right.
But I'm gonna go back to my question. Standing up in the middle of traffic and putting your finger at a car can get you killed.
Well, unfortunately, it did get this young man killed. There was another talk radio host I was listening to this morning, and he put it really truthfully. And I feel bad for the family, but if the kid would have sat in the car, he'd be alive today.
He could have sat in the car. He could have stood up on top of the car.
He could have got right next to the car and screamed and hollered.
He could have, you know.
But there, if you watch the video, he ran down the track into the racing group.
That's what I'm saying. He went into the middle of the oncoming traffic.
Right.
Did he not, how old was this guy?
20 years old.
Oh, he didn't know any better. He was just young and stupid. I had to ask you. Oh, and so now Tony Stewart will not drive in NASCAR?
No, he didn't drive this weekend. I don't know what's going to happen next.
I mean, he killed a man, not on purpose, but he's sick about it.
I'm quite sure. I'm just saying. I thought he might come. I'm just reading the headlines. I didn't read the story. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean
I not. Don't. I don't. I can't see Tony Stewart retiring.
Okay, so he's not going to stop because of this.
Just from what past history of Tony Stewart, I can't see him retiring.
Because everybody's saying, you know, this wasn't done intentionally, you know, this kid.
Wasn't.
But I'm looking at this kid and I'm going, why would you go and stand in the middle of anywhere and point your finger? I don't get it.
Well, I mean, yeah, they stand by the cars and scream at each other all
the
time.
Okay.
But they don't run down into the middle of the racing group.
Actually, if you want to impress me, get on top and jump up and down on the roof. But you don't get in the middle of oncoming traffic and jump up and down.
I mean, you know, and they're making a big deal out of this. And fistfights in the pits at your local dirt track. You go up to Sharon, just about every Saturday night you're going to see a fistfight in the pits.
Why are you going to see a fist? It's not boxing.
Because
competition.
It's competition,
yeah,
and guys get out there, and you pushed me out of the way, or you did something to me that wasn't right.
Yeah,
see,
you
that,
bumped
and that,
me on the front corner of my, you know,
yeah.
Car.
Isn't that assault?
Throw me out
and
of...
That was, no.
They don't let us fight.
No.
Well,
we fight
let
all
us,
the time.
Everybody fights.
Well, then I'm going to take you outside in the parking lot.
We fought.
We, I mean, and that's something I learned this weekend that I thought was a rule. And I thought it was a rule that you weren't allowed to get out of your car until the safety crew got there. And according to Ricky Craven, analyst for ESPN, that's not a rule because he said it needs to be instituted in all levels of racing.
That doesn't have to be a rule. That's just common sense. Come on, guys.
What?
We teach our kids, do not go in the middle. Don't go play in traffic. You don't need a rule to tell somebody don't go play in traffic.
Some kids you tell go play in traffic.
440, good morning. G-Man. Can I call you G-Man?
Good morning. No, don't say that. you know, the only thing, what it really come down to, Tony Stewart's a star. He's a star. And this 20-year-old kid who was a nobody, he was going to get out of his car and show this guy up and do the finger pointing and crap, and he doesn't even deserve to be on the same track with this guy. And he got killed. Those tracks for those sprint cars are real slick. And you could see the back end of his car sliding out. That was just a dumb thing he did. He did it to himself. It's nobody else's fault but his. Stay in the doggone car, and that's it. Game's out.
That couldn't have been only 35 miles an hour, man. The way that caught him. They were passing him at a good clip.
It looked like they were going
50, 60. But
yeah. Did you see his back end of his car slide out? His back end of his car slid out, and it's like,
yeah, I mean,
game's
out. That was the luck of the draw for him, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel bad for him and his family, but he did that to himself. You know, that's what showboating gets you sometimes. You want a showboat? Mm-hmm. Hey, cost you your life now. There you go. It's the end of that.
There's Gentle Ben.
Yep.
Is he trying to sneak in?
He's trying to sneak in.
Did somebody tell him that he can't sneak in?
He came out the ceiling like you do. How did he learn that trick?
Good. Well, listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM. We'll see you on the other side.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique. individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM, online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
We're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Got everybody's here. Jim's here. Six is here. Jeff is here. Hey, 440, good morning.
Yeah, I got...
Hold on.
I have to get up real quick, so I got to ask
okay.
a question.
All right.
I have to ask this to Jeff. Jeff, do you remember an old TV show called Johnny Umar? And the song that was with
Johnny
it.
Johnny Yuma was a rebel. He
okay, here's your chance to write a song. And guess for who?
Johnny Manziel?
There you go. Here's your chance.
Okay.
I want to tell you that all weekend long. So there you go. I know you're the songwriter, so there you go.
So
anyway, I got
to
go
write a song. You going to come back?
Yeah.
We'll come back.
He writes
I might
songs
come back.
That make the whole Bye. World sing.
There you go.
He writes the songs of love and special things.
If it's Tora Brown,
turn his
be
mic
it.
Up. He's on one.
Oh, that's what we're asking about. I don't want him to talk right now.
You want to conceal the truth, right?
Huh? No.
Well, all I'm saying is if you're writing a song for the Browns, shouldn't it be something on the line of a funeral prior or something?
I mentioned this before you got here, Ben.
Yeah.
The guy that I went to high school with, son, was drafted by the Lions.
Uh-huh.
And that's all he was talking about on Facebook all weekend was how his kid got to beat up on the Browns.
Listen, guys, tomorrow you better be nice to Jeff. Because you're going to be here home alone.
No, Mark's going to be here.
Yeah.
It's Mark knows everything and Sticks is going to learn.
No, this is going to be a wild day.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Jeff and I are going to listen in.
I know where you're going to be.
Wow.
You're going into enemy territory. You're going to wear your black and gold in enemy territory?
I'm smarter than Sister. Did I tell you that I went into the den this weekend and came out with a black eye because they found out, they Googled my name and found out I was a Republican and I supported John McCain and Mitt Romney. I thought I was going to have to, you know, it was worse than white sheets.
Well, you know, here goes the thing.
Well, at least you got the party right.
With black folks, too, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Every last, that's what I'm saying. Listen, every last one.
The color God is colored.
And I said, and I accidentally said, 98% of African Americans are uninformed when they come to vote.
Oh, even the educated ones.
And hold on. And then, got to realize, I'm in a room with women who are way off, intellectually, as far as academia, they're way off the charts. Successfully, I was the poet one in the room. But no, if they was talking about what they do, I'd have listened. They vote twice a year and got some friends and may know. But not, and then got mad when I told them, the Congressional Black Caucus ain't got no power.
Didn't you tell me these are the women that told you that Condoleezza Rice was married to George Bush?
No, there was a marriage. Condoleezza Rice made a gaffe saying that she was George Bush was a hut, and then changed her mind. And, you know, we call people that you work with as much as Condoleezza Rice worked. People talk about people that I work with as my work spouse. My work husband, because we spend more time together than they do with their wives.
I must be the redhead adopted stepchild then.
Pretty much.
You got to look at the chat room. Look at this nut vorpal bite.
Oh, man.
That only black Jesus can save you now, Tracy. That was a good one, Vorp. I mean, that's funny.
You know, I'm trying to tell these women, listen, I'm not saying become Republican. I'm saying, do you realize you vote straight down ticket? But I'm going to vote for my neighbor. Your neighbor may not know what he's doing. It's just because he's a Republican. That don't count. But we are uninformed. Anytime you got souls to the polls, you give them a slate card, they go in automatically and vote straight down ticket. There's a problem when you got Manny Moe and Jack on your school board and the one why Johnny can't read. But, you know, I'm just.
Well, the fact that they voted Obama in office twice proves that they're uninformed.
No. Not that they voted him in twice. They don't even know how to get what they want out of him. He ain't landed a plane in black America since he got in the White House. And who goes on vacation with the Middle East getting a blow up?
Getting ready to blow up?
Yeah, it's been blowing up for a while.
I think it's been blowing up for the past year.
So because he took Susan Rice and Valerie Jarrett on vacation does not mean that he is. That's just who does that? Right now, everybody who's on recess, everybody who's away from Washington should have their happy tails in D.C., skip election. If they don't know you by now, they won't know you in the future. You need to be in Washington trying to figure out how in the heck are you going to get out of the mess that you're in, that you created because you let everybody go home trying to be politically correct.
Yeah, we're dropping bombs in Iraq because we didn't leave 12,000 troops there.
Exactly.
I haven't figured that one out yet.
Exactly.
And I shouldn't say I guarantee it, but there will be U.S. troops back on the ground in Iraq before the election.
Absolutely.
I'll guarantee it.
And then I didn't watch the tech talking head yesterday on the news.
I didn't either.
But the Republicans were bashing President Obama because he's doing what they want him to do. No, he's not doing what they want him to do. What he's doing is what he should not have had to do because he was not listening and not paying attention because he was playing politics while he was in office.
Maliki asked him to leave 12,000 troops in Iraq.
Yes, he did.
And if he had left those 12,000 troops in Iraq, There was nobody getting killed in Iraq. None of our soldiers were getting killed in Iraq. The war was, for all intents and purposes, over. Basically, those 12,000 troops would have been a buffer zone.
Stabilization.
To keep all the kids from fighting.
Tell me something.
Yes.
Why are we so intense this early in the morning?
Because my window went down and won't come out. You should have saw me yesterday. No, you should have saw me yesterday. I've been at this. I'm telling you, I was with some friends, and I didn't know them all.
Frenemies?
No, they were friends, and they're great women. Great, absolutely. And I said, what do you do? I do talk radio. And I gave them a card and said, you know, check us out. And I never got into any, what are you talking about? We talk about politics, we talk about social issues, we talk about education, we talk about things that are taboo.
Yeah.
You know, I just talk about the show a little bit. And I never said, the night before they got into conversation about, you know, administration, and I never opened my mouth. You know, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. So I didn't say nothing. So one, you know, everybody's got tablets and stuff, so they Googled my name. And I guess they Googled my name and George Bush came up.
Well, you took the picture with George Bush. You know you're in trouble now. You can't even go back home anymore, Tracy. You're living in the hood. You can't go home.
And they said, you supported John McCain? Like John. Yes. I didn't like about you supported Romney, and after the 47, and you know, when we talk about issues and things going on in our community and our churches, our neighborhood, I talked to him. I didn't tell him my political affiliation.
I got a question.
What?
All these people hollering about the 1%, but the last I heard, it's like $50,000.
Can I tell you this?
To go have dinner with the president.
Listen here. Let me tell you something.
There ain't no 99%ers going to spend $50,000 to have dinner with the president.
Let me tell you something. I was with the 1%. I'm the only person in the 99.
Okay.
I am the 99. They are the 1%.
You want to know what? Honestly, when we met, you blew my mind. I mean, I've never, and it's rare to find somebody black that does not like Obama.
But don't I look like I'm a Republican?
I don't know what Republicans look like.
Republican red and yellow, black and white. We are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Uh-huh, that's church, but not politics, because I can't understand. We talked about church. We talked about God and how great he is. But when you mention Obama, it turns into a whole other religion. Hi, local call, your mic is on. How are you?
Good morning, Tracy. You're having one of those mornings, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
All right.
This is called a hangover from the weekend.
Yeah, I get it. Here's a little something for you guys to wrap your mind around. Remember I called you about 2 weeks ago, and I did a little Al Pacino?
Yes, you did.
You know. Well, here's another movie theme for you guys. Let's go back to the original movie with Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte called 48 Hours. And I perceive that that was kind of a precursor for what Obama has done over the last 6 to 7 years. If you remember the bar scene where Eddie Murphy walks in to this redneck bar, and he whips out his gun and he whips out his badge, and he tells all the people in there, "I'm your worst nightmare." Can you remember the scene?
Yes.
Okay, well, this is our worst nightmare.
Actually,
you got it. I hear Jeff chuckling in the background.
I am. You know, this is so funny to me, and the only reason why is 6 years ago, I told people this person was going to run everything off the rails, and you will be.
Yep.
Once, if he gets you out of Iraq, you're going to be back in within 6 months, because there's no way you can let that country go down, because you have some strategic people and strategic things in that country that they're not telling you that we have there. And guess what? These people are 20 miles away from our personnel in Iraq, and he let these guys take over that much time, kill off the Kurds and the Christians.
Iraq is not the problem.
No.
It's Iran.
Yeah, no, Iran, that's why you were there.
Yeah.
So we can go to Iraq, and as long as we don't get to the root of the problem, we may never be out of it.
Listen, I heard this morning on one of the crazy liberal talk shows,
mm-hmm.
who says that they're balanced, that we're liable to be there 20 years.
Yeah, and we had our chance in Iran.
See, here's what I don't understand about all this. They made a big deal about getting out of Iraq. We've had troops in Germany for 60, 70 years. We've had troops in Japan for 60, 70 years. We've had troops in Korea for 50, 60 years.
Yeah, we have troops in Cuba.
And I'll tell you what, you know, I mean, you ask anybody that got lucky enough to get sent to Germany, it's good duty.
Me,
mm-hmm.
I loved every minute.
You know,
of
I don't know anybody that joined a service that got to go to any of those places after the wars were over that didn't think it was really good duty.
Not 9 months I spent there, and even though I was glad to leave Europe, I enjoyed every minute.
Yeah,
of the time I was
Europe's
there.
A great place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live.
Well, I wouldn't long, yeah, that's the whole thing.
Oh, that's a. I was waiting for the next segment.
But you know, I
one
watched,
segment at a time, because I got to talk about how much better off we I just don't want to say.
Well, I was watching something on history this weekend about Tiberius Caesar and Caligula Caesar. And
you were watching Caligula?
No. It was a History Channel thing. It wasn't the movie Caligula. No. No, it was not that. It was a history thing. And it was about how that they were working to make the Senate irrelevant. Obama's doing is he's working to make the House and Senate totally irrelevant and make an imperial presidency.
Who's driving the car?
The local caller.
Oh, okay.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I really feel sorry for our servicemen who are serving now, because literally we had our opportunity to take down the Iranian government. Do you remember when they
what?
Do you remember when the uprising was there?
When where?
In Iran.
Yes.
In which one?
The Green Revolution.
Yeah, that was about
but we turned our back on
2 years ago?
Two and a half years ago,
yeah, where they were actually begging for American support.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't want us to send troops. They just wanted us to send communications equipment and small
medical
arms.
Supplies, absolutely. Small arms, and that government would have been overthrown.
But let me ask you this, because and local call, your mic is on, and so is yours, 440. The if you look at what's going on here, I mean, the president and the administration, they demonized us for being there because of political will. I mean, it was all a raw that he got everybody out. But they didn't have no long-term plan, because if you watch Hillary Clinton is trying. I mean, 8 years ago or 6 years ago, 7 years ago, when she was running in the primary, she really brought out how much of a novice that President Obama was on foreign policy. Then they put in good old Joe. And the book that I was reading called Clinton Inc., what they were doing, from my understanding, is Clinton thought that she could make some regime changes and she could do some things. But they were actually, they would send her one place, but they would be strategizing on foreign policy while she was gone. And so now that she's out, and now that she is, you know, trying to pay attention, trying to see if she's going to be running for office, you know, she's trying to distance herself from President Obama. And she's finding, and she's actually coming out and soft speak saying that he's really not as savvy.
Well, before the election, before he got elected the first time, I mean, I think both Hillary and Clinton were saying this guy's not going to.
Until the deal was cut.
Right. I mean, what would she say? She said that.
Bill said he was a fairy tale.
Senator
right.
Obama, or what was he? Representative Obama.
Senator,
yeah, thinks that Iran is a song from a flock of seagulls. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's pretty
well,
much.
Well, and look, I mean, Romney's been proved right with this Russia thing.
So, I mean, I got to go back to my question, and local call, maybe you can answer this. Good leadership doesn't go on vacation when the rest of the world is at conflict and we're in the center of it, do they?
Well, of course not. It you know, that leadership is just that. It is leadership. And this guy has been, you know, I look at President Obama as a puppet. And there are puppeteers, if you would, people of great wealth and great power and in some respects great minds that are running this administration. And they are using President Obama and his ethnicity, if you would, as a pawn in a major game that we are unable to play in because we're just too little. But it also entails almost the entirety of the rest of our electorate.
Let me ask you this. Then how do we get people, because this is my problem, and it's a big problem, how do I get people to put down everything that has happened and open up their eyes and see what's really in front of them? Because right now, if you listen, the country is so divided right now.
I got a better question. Do you think this would be happening if Ronald Reagan was the president?
None of this would
no,
be happening.
No, no, it would be different because he would have made different decisions. Remember, we walked our way into this Mubarak,
yes.
Gaddafi,
yes. Uh-huh.
Arab Springs. We walked
we
walked our way into this. Because even if you look how they were Egypt.
Oh, yeah.
And when you look at what happened with Gaddafi,
mm-hmm.
and what happened with Iraq and what happened with the troops.
No, they failed in Egypt.
They may have failed in Egypt, but what you have to understand, Syria,
mm-hmm.
Israel, we always sit on the sidelines right now. We mm-hmm. won't engage because nobody wants to make an unpopular decision.
Well, that's not true. We made a decision in Libya and went in there.
But it wasn't an unpopular decision.
Yes, it was.
Well, yeah, with people who are in the know, it was very unpopular.
But not with the people of them. You know what I'm saying? Everything was made by a political wind. It's like playing golf. You throw grass up in the air and find out how the wind's blowing, mm-hmm. and then you hit the ball.
I mean, there was something really
wrong?
Funny going on there, that's for sure.
Are the decisions being made that way?
This goes back to what I mentioned just a few moments ago about President Obama as a puppet. I don't think that Bush or anybody all the way back to Reagan is any less guilty of the same thing. There are powers and people that are moving our political system to serve their own best interest and has nothing to do with the best interest of the people.
True.
And they can do this without getting dirty hands. And so Obama, as repugnant as he may be, as a pseudo leader, is nonetheless he's taking the flak for these guys, and he's willing to do this because he's looking at how the Clintons have prospered after leaving office, become multi millionaires, and there's Al Gore who has become a billionaire, and Jimmy Carter who's become a multi millionaire, and on and on and on. These people are not in the office for the 8 hour or the eight-year term as much as they are for the long term. They have become professional, parasites. They are planning for their future, not ours. And this entails everybody in the Congress and the Senate. No, I shouldn't say everybody. That's too broad a brush. I believe there are a few people with some integrity still left within them. They are fighting a very serious uphill battle. And you ask, how can we change this? The only way we can do this is for us as the individual voter to become informed. And that's asking for second-grade mentality to take on a college-level entry course.
But let me ask you this, because when you say get informed, when you go to look at the information that is out there, you don't know where the information is, because even on the right, the right has bad information, the left has bad information. There, I don't know who has true, straight down the middle. I love on the issues, but then they're a little outdated until the presidential election, where you can actually go and decipher this stuff on your own without making it a whole nother degree.
Right. Well, what I've chosen to do is the few people that I've, I don't know if I would say endorse them, but I certainly follow their legislative trail. I've gone and talked to these people one-on-one at town hall meetings, at personal breakfasts where there's only 4 to 5 people, and I'm no mover and shaker. You know that. You know who I am. But I'm a guy that cares enough about my family and my community and my country that if I don't get involved, if I don't know what my representatives actually think about and have as an agenda, then I have no right to step into a voting booth and pull a lever in their behalf. And when I vote, there's 90% probably, no, I would say probably 80% of the ticket I never vote for. They don't get anything from me. I vote for people and for issues that I think have the best interest of our country, our local community, and our nation.
But now let me say this to you. But even when you don't vote, you still vote, and I don't think you understand that.
Oh, yes, I do.
No, you said there are certain races that you don't vote in, and you don't cast a ballot. So do you realize that when you don't vote, you still vote? You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. My vote doesn't, what would we call it, not negate, but balance a vote that would be in favor of something that I'm not in favor of. I understand that. You know, that's like my wife and I. If we're divided on a candidate, if she votes, I have to vote against her just to make her vote not count. And I understand that's what you're saying. But there are some people in some situations that I refuse to vote on because to cast a vote is giving, I'm acquiescing to the, you know, to both wrong positions. And I realize there's a lesser of two evils. There always is. But unfortunately, even the lesser of the two evils is so repugnant to me in many cases that I refuse to put my name to it.
Well, listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
The best things in life are free.
The
world has changed. The old ways of saving for retirement, they're gone forever. Today, you need Legacy Financial Strategies. Legacy Financial Strategies offers you the safe retirement roadmap you're looking for, plus tax-free retirement solutions. That's right, tax-free retirement solutions. To set up your free review, log on to leavealegacy.com. That's leavealegacy.com. Or call 800-264-4963. That's 800-264-4963. Today, you need Legacy Financial Strategies. And make sure to listen to the Legacy Financial Strategies radio show Thursday mornings at 9 and Saturday mornings at 11 on News Talk 790 WPIC.
Roholt Vision Institute.
Get to know Roholt Vision Institute, the premier LASIK and cataract center in Ohio, with offices in Canton, Canfield, and Alliance. Meet Amy, laser vision coordinator at Roholt Vision. Amy, how long have you worked at Roholt Vision?
I'm proud to say over 10 years.
So is it true that if you have astigmatism, you're not a candidate for LASIK?
No, not at all. Astigmatism can be corrected.
So what if you're not a LASIK candidate?
There are many procedures available by our doctors that help patients achieve the same great vision as LASIK.
And how does a patient find out if they are a candidate?
We encourage patients to schedule a complimentary consultation to see what type of procedure is best for them.
Find out more about Roholt Vision Institute. Call 1-800-481-LASER or visit RoholtVision.com.
Michael Savage, weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600.
It's baseball time, Scrappers fans. The Scrappers return to Eastwood Field for a six-game homestand August 6th through the 11th. Highlighting the homestand is an appearance and bobblehead giveaway of Ray Boom Boom Mancini, Buck Night, Friday Fireworks, Superhero Night, and Military Night. For more information, call 330-505-0000, friend them on Facebook, or visit mvscrappers.com. The Scrappers 2014 season is presented by Subway of Niles. Scrappers baseball. Baseball with bite.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and it's Monday. It's Open Mic Monday here on WSOM AM 600 here with Tracy and Friends. Got Ben Sticks and Jeff here in the studio with me. Hey, tomorrow Sticks and Mark's going to be on here home alone, so keep them company and say hi to them. And give Sticks and Mark a hard time. That'll be fun.
Oh, man, we are going to have a blast tomorrow.
They're going to do with about me and Jeff. I'm taking Jeff on a date.
Your work date, right?
This is what you call an agonizing date.
Were you going to a Democratic
function? She's going into the other enemy's territory.
Yeah.
She's going to a Democratic function.
No, I'm going to Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
Cleveland rocks.
I got a brown and orange.
That's all right. You know what I like? You know what I like to do when I go.
But I'm gonna have black and gold socks on.
When I go to Cleveland, I buy a bunch of bumper stickers, Pittsburgh Steelers bumper stickers, and put them on cars out there.
You are so bad.
I know, it's so cool. Especially, yeah, I did that during the game one year. That was funny.
Lucky you didn't get beat.
Mahoney County picked a guy. Mahoney County Republican Party picked a guy yesterday to run for auditor here in Mahoney County.
What's his criminal record?
No, he doesn't have one.
Oh, he won't win. Mahoney County, he don't have a chance.
Going to be indicted?
He has to be indicted, yeah. At least.
So his name is Ralph Meacham. And
look him up on the internet. I bet he had to do something.
No.
Nothing.
He's a Steelers fan.
Yeah, but he's a Democrat. That negates.
No, he's a Republican.
Oh, he's a Republican.
He's a Republican.
Oh. Well, no record, Republican, and Steelers fan. He's pretty intelligent then. But he's not going to win. Because he's a Democrat now.
No.
Democrat, no criminal record, Mahoney County. You don't got a chance.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
I don't know.
He's a good guy. He's got a great resume. He's got an understanding of accounting and financing. He's a CPA for many years.
He don't belong in the government then. You're not describing anybody.
But does he look good in a suit? Does he take a nice picture? Because that's all it takes to get elected in the United States.
I doubt.
Does he make a good speech?
You know,
or look good?
We know we have Photoshop, right? I can make him look any way he wants.
Can you Photoshop live television?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, you can edit anything.
Can you lose me 40 pounds?
Yes, I can. You just can't walk outside when I get done.
It's like that with Chumley from that
channel. Yeah, Pawn Stars, yeah.
Don't be messing with Chumley.
I like Chumley.
Yeah, he's smarter than he acts.
No, he's an intelligent. Actually, he's a licensed electrician.
That has nothing to do with his aptitude of being in a pawn shop.
He makes that show.
Yeah, but do you know?
Yes,
but
he's an old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't be a dummy and get through an electrician apprenticeship.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can. You still vote Democrat, right?
It depends on how much money you have. You could buy that too, you know.
You know that, right? How many people in the unions?
Rick,
who you call bright guys? Vote straight down party ticket because the union told them to.
Yep.
None.
They used to hand out a flyer.
But I'm not from
then don't
Youngstown.
Talk.
I'm not from
Youngstown. Youngstown? No.
I'm not from Mahoning County.
But still, it's not Columbia County is pretty like the same too.
Most of the union guys I know either vote split ticket or they vote straight Republican.
Well, that's because of where you're located at.
Yeah.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because most of the guys that I know that are in unions have a side business.
Well, that's gambling. That's racketeering. That's not.
No. That's in Youngstown.
Okay.
That would be racketeering.
Yeah.
Where I live, it's called farming or an excavating company or a construction company or. Yeah, I know very few guys that work a job that don't have another business on the side. Very few.
Do they have another girlfriend on the side too?
They ain't got time for another girlfriend. Besides, if the wife found out about it, they wouldn't have to worry about the other girlfriend because they just beat them to death.
That, especially down in the farming community.
Yeah.
That's not a real.
What do you mean?
That's not a real wide field. It's being done, of course, but there's not many opportunities. Unless you're going out in the barn in the haystack or something.
Well, then, no, with those big.
Or really a roll in the hay, right?
Farming doesn't take is not labor as intensive as it used to be a long time. You know, those nice tractors they have now.
But the problem is, an old friend of mine said this years ago. He said the first worst thing that ever happened was we introduced tractors on a farm, because when you didn't have farmed with horses,
mm-hmm.
you had to stop to rest the horses. He said, and the second worst thing we ever did was we put headlights on tractors, because now you don't ever stop
at night. Yeah, you do see a lot of them out there at night.
I'll tell you what, man, I know a lot of guys that work 24 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
7 days a week in the spring and the fall. My daughter's former boyfriend worked for a local agribusiness. He would get off of school on Friday afternoon at noon, and he would come home Saturday about 2 o'clock and get a couple hours rest, and go back and work till Sunday at 9 or 10 o'clock at night and come home and go to bed.
Hmm.
He would work a 40-hour week.
Weather permitting, too.
Yeah. He would work 40 or 45 hours from Friday to Sunday.
Mm-hmm. No, there's something my grandfather...
At 17 years old.
My grandfather had a farm, so when I was young, I sort of was like...
Get Jeff.
Yeah, what did I do?
Back up.
Back up. Am I breathing? I didn't hear myself, so...
I didn't hear it either.
That's not me. That's why.
Chumley's a basketball shoe genius.
Here?
Mm-hmm.
Not me. Well, now who you got in there?
Well, I'm talking, so I don't think it's me.
Who you got on your phone?
No
one's talking.
No one. Okay.
Maybe it was you.
Luke, come over to the dark side.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
We're leaving from Southern Park Mall parking lot.
Now, change it. You're trying to be like Glenn Beck in election, though. When Carrie was running, they had this big truck with a Carrie hat on it, and they drove it through certain neighborhoods telling people that you don't forget to go vote for me on Wednesday, November.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Talk about low-information voters.
Oh, man. Glenn Beck was hilarious and is still.
Oh, yeah.
But you got to watch this show that he did a speech on.
They were okay.
On John Hagee. He, check out his speech. I recorded it. He is fantastic on this and very, very much very clear.
Good morning, Eric.
Morning, Tracy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you this morning?
I'm well.
That's good. And how are you, South Carolina?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, I need you to do some stuff there over in Warren. I need you to put some Kool-Aid in the water.
Kool-Aid?
Do something.
Kool-Aid. What happened?
I can't get people to understand some things. What's he doing over there?
Uh-oh.
I'm looking at a Fred Thompson quote.
I saw that. I just posted that.
Yeah, you did. It came from you.
Yeah, I just posted that. I need some probably to start putting some Kool-Aid in the water so they realize that grass is not always green. You know, grass does turn gray.
You know, Tracy, after a certain amount of time, and depending on where you get the grass from, it is, grass is really fertilizer, right? Grass is, you know, the type of grass that they're using is the type of grass that comes out of, you know, the north end of a southbound cow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Well, we need to give them some Kool-Aid or give them a laxative. You know, is X-Lax still sold?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Femalac too.
No, X-Lax. X-Lax.
Yeah, because
remember it looks like chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
We need to go feed some people some chocolate.
Don't give them X-Lax. Give them feed a bit.
What you're supposed to do is when you get that X-Lax and mix it in a brownie mix and make brownies with it. I was in college once.
That is so mean.
I know.
Oh, that would be mean?
Yeah, I know. It was.
You did stuff like that too, didn't you?
Well, I was in a fraternity.
Isn't that hazing?
I was on the opposite end of that too sometimes, so.
I got hazed just today.
You need to get hazed.
What am I?
Oh, you're a Browns. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. One of my Facebook nemesis, we always fight on Facebook.
Huh?
He came to my Jazz in the Park and sat down next to me, right, up under the thing, with a Steeler chair.
Nice.
I said, man, will you get out of here? You can't. I said, my own cousin came with a black and yellow chair. It wasn't even Steelers. Huh. And I made her sit in the back of the tent. And he going to be right up there at the table watching the show with, you know who you are, Willie Foster. I hope you're listening. But anyway, this guy came up and put a Steeler chair by me yesterday.
What's wrong with that?
Well, he's an intelligent person.
No, he is an intelligent person. You need to get on my Facebook and look.
What was wrong with
Steelers?
Hey, you know,
I think low information voters like the Steelers.
Even Miss Diva is a Steeler fan. You got to give her credit there.
Low information voters,
but
like the Steelers.
Hold on,
she's anti-abortionist too now. So
I'm both a Steeler and a Brown fan.
You can't be both. No, that's impossible.
Yes, I can.
No. You can't.
Financially, I'm a Browns fan.
Hey, even with the woman with her three personalities, cannot mix that up.
As a matter of fact,
they would just melt down.
Hold on, I'm a Steeler fan. I'm a Brown fan, and I'm also a Detroit Lion fan.
Oh, God, here we go.
There's one thing, Jeff.
Yeah.
There's one thing I didn't like in that game. At the end of the first half when Johnny Manziel took a knee, I'm like, you don't do that in preseason. You throw the ball downfield.
Oh, I guess they have to practice it all.
Well, he's not able to make those decisions yet. Johnny Manziel cannot make that decision. If the coach says take a knee, he has to.
Take a knee?
Yeah.
What is taking a knee?
That's really saying that we're done. Let's go into the locker room for halftime.
Yeah.
Basically. Or it's a way to stop the clock, I think, isn't it? No, you got to throw an incomplete pass.
You know what? I got to take a break. I got to go. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll see you on the other side of my break.
WSOM, Salem, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600, WSOM.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on
Fusions in Ohio into next year, as questions remain about the effectiveness of a new two-drug combination. This is ABC News.
I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information.
They had obviously researched every place, not just given me names.
Really? Yeah.
They found me a place for what she could afford, and it was magnificent.
We're now very confident that she's safe, and they just helped every step of the way, and I can't thank them enough.
So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, call A Place for Mom. This is a free service, and you can trust them to help you.
If you're struggling to find reliable senior living information for your mom or dad, then call or go online to get the free help you need during this turbulent time. Call now, 800-467-7530, 800-467-7530.
Gunfire on a downtown Dallas street early this morning. ABC's Jim Ryan tells us what happened.
About an hour before closing time at a bar called Club Plush, some patrons were leaving as others were trying to get in. Shots were fired and people dove for cover. Down the street, Gabrika Buren runs a restaurant.
They start fighting from the club. It's shooting guns at each other, man. Yeah.
Somebody could have been killed.
Yeah, of course.
The front windows of his business were shot out. No one was hurt, but several Club Plush customers had their cell phones and purses taken in all the confusion. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
A question of ownership, Kurdish or Iraqi, has kept a tanker containing a million barrels of Iraqi crude oil anchored and waiting about 60 miles off the coast of Galveston, Texas, for nearly 2 weeks. The Kurdish government and the Iraqi state government both claim ownership of the oil. A federal magistrate in Houston has ordered U.S. Marshals to seize any oil that's offloaded. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Since 1936, App's goal has been your complete satisfaction and has become the nation's number one destination for electronics and appliances for free delivery on thousands of items. Visit abt.com. App, pleasing people since 1936.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor, Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland, at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios.
Ford Escape is ready for whatever may come your way this summer with EcoBoost technology and foot-activated liftgate. For details, visit drive1ohio.com.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM.
I'm glad I caught you guys.
And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
I'm really glad I caught you.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Got Jeff, Sticks, and Ben in here. You guys just said, I got a question. Have we heard about the particulars of what's going on in Missouri? You said they were rioting. I knew there was an unrest being referenced to a young black man getting shot by an officer. But can you guys fill me in on the details? I have not watched it closely, and
yeah.
I have not read about it closely. And I heard that it, from what I've just gathered, bits and pieces and chunks and nunks.
Chunks and what?
Nunks.
Yeah, somebody told me on Facebook last night, Tracy, that they pretty much stormed the police department.
I said chunks and nunks. I know what I said.
What's
not
a
lump.
Nunk? She don't know.
A nunk is a former lump.
She makes it up. She makes up things. She'll kill a thing so
chunks
quickly.
And nunks. That's what I said. Hang on, Snoopy.
Sounds
absolutely.
Like a cookie to me.
Hang chunks on, and nunks. And so
that's another thing.
What?
The Ohio State band.
Yeah.
So go back to
chunks and nunks.
Chunks and nunks.
See, chunks and nunks.
That sounds like a cookie from Pepperidge Farms.
Chunks and nuts. Don't you know?
That sounds like a Ben and Jerry's flavor.
I was getting ready to say, Ben and Jerry ice cream flavor.
You've never heard of a chunks and nuts?
That's too liberal for me. I don't go there.
That's true.
They got good ice cream. Hey.
I don't know. I tell you what.
It's not as good as Handles.
Handles any day.
But
right.
Handles doesn't have Chunky Monkey.
I don't want
Well, they created Chunky Monkey.
Not the same kind of Chunky Monkey.
It may not be.
As whose?
It's Chunky
there's
Monkey.
There's liberal poison in that stuff.
So it's Kool-Aid in there?
It's worse than Kool-Aid.
No, but
you're
talking
about yeah,
Ben
you know
and Jerry's.
What?
All their profits go to liberal funding to kill people.
I you know what I had a well I'll leave that alone.
Go back to
the local.
No,
I
like
the
chunks and nunks. The
I like Katie's Corners too.
The Ben and Jerry's people support the same people that paid for the Georgia Guidestones.
Tracy.
So I won't buy them.
Chunks and nuts?
No, leave it alone.
How about wet? Okay, let's go to Dairy Queen.
Me and my family will
drive by. No, I like Dairy Queen.
By
I had Dairy Queen last time.
Okay. So, what is going on in Missouri? Because I thought it was St. Louis. I thought it was New Orleans. So, you know, they always have a problem down there.
I don't know how the young man resisted.
The man resisted, and they said he ran away, and he was doing something, and then the man shot him, and What happened here?
The policeman shot him.
Right.
Hey, Tracy.
Sounds like the case we had in Poland a couple
but
years ago.
I have a question
you know
for you. I mean, I'm not taking the police outside, but my question is, do policemen just get the crap beat out of them, or do they, just look at what happened in New York. Then the guy who had asthma who was selling
yeah.
the illegal cigarette, they put him in a chokehold.
Heart problems.
Heart problems?
Yeah, heart problems.
And asthma.
Still, they killed him because
they
used the chokehold. But he was resisting arrest.
But he resisted. But when he said stop, he wanted to say, see, listen, that's how you do it. You stop, time out. I'm having a respiratory problem. Don't choke me. Everybody go to their independent corners until I can start breathing again and run off for a little while.
That's how they fight wars.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how Israel fights wars.
So what's going on? Does anybody know what's going on with this kid? Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. What's going on with this kid?
Pionki, if you're listening, call in, because I really don't know.
Yeah, we need Pionki. Where's Pionki when you need
him? He's probably out there rioting.
No, I don't think Pionki rioted.
He's out there rioting. Yeah.
Listen, you know,
I think it is it's really ridiculous what's happening out there. I don't know the full story of exactly what happened. The story that I'm getting is they apparently there was an altercation between two gentlemen and the police, and a shot got fired. But the NAACP is out there rioting. I mean, I don't know if the NAACP is rioting, but the rest of them are rioting. The NAACP is out there protesting. My question to the NAACP is, why aren't they protesting in Chicago? Why wasn't they here down here in South Carolina protesting over Memorial Day when three people got killed and another five people got shot?
Were they black on black? Hold on, wait a minute. South Carolina, don't talk so fast. Was it black on black? Don't worry about that.
Yeah, it was black on black.
I got a question as an outsider looking in. When we have one of these incidents, why do black people burn down their own neighborhoods?
I tell you, answer that question, and we'll give you a dollar.
Because they don't own their own neighborhoods anymore.
Even if
they never did. Yeah. Frustration.
So why not burn it down?
Well, it's frustration, and it's also those that are opportunists looking for a chance to grab free stuff. I hate to say it, but it's true. I remember when we had the 68 riots here after Martin Luther King was murdered, that they broke in a store, up in a black neighborhood. And they broke in this store that used to give you credit and give you things out of it. Mm-hmm. And it was called Hall's Market, and I believe Mr. Hall might have been Jewish. And, you know, Jewish people are, like, friendly to the black community. It didn't make sense for them to do what they did.
Well, same thing happened out in L.A. Tracy and I were both there, and they would burn down the neighborhood
grocery store.
In 68.
No, I'm talking about the L.A. riots.
The Rodney King.
Rodney King riots, yeah.
Because she's always trying to talk about how young she is.
Well, the 68 riots, I was only two, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I was only five in the L.A. riots. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
No, but yeah, it didn't make sense that, you know, this was somebody serving your community.
But a lot of it comes from because you don't have, at one time they had nowhere to go. Now it's just based upon, remember, we're based upon a society of greed. So when you see opportunity, you seize the mark, seize the moment to go out and to try to capitalize, even if it's an ill-gotten gain. So you're not rioting because you're mad. You're rioting because you're trying to have a come up.
So if we have a mass riot, nobody's going to get arrested.
No,
the people get arrested, but it's a crapshoot.
No,
I mean, as I said, I saw them. I saw them.
I got a better chance of getting away with the big screen if there's a riot than I do
saw,
just breaking
I saw them
in
walking
myself.
In, and the doors are already open. During the LA riots, I mean, when you went to the computer store, the windows were already broken down. Computers were laying out in the middle of the street because people were grabbing so many and dropping them.
All you
had to do was pick it up and keep on going.
Yeah, but how many people got shot doing that?
Not many.
Enough to deter.
Not enough.
Yeah,
not
you
enough.
Just shot more people?
No,
what?
I'm just saying. Not a whole. Compared to the people that
30, 40,
I saw,
60 people lost their lives during the
outrage. No. Let me say this. I actually saw a man take a tow truck and pull an ATM out of Bank of America. I really saw it with my own eyes. I'd never seen anything like that. I will never forget that image. Or the man going down the street with a refrigerator on his back.
I remember that one.
He must have been a big guy.
He was. But he was going down the street with a refrigerator on his back. So I don't know why that happens, but I want to know, when do we start being proactive? Because, see, we don't want our boys shot. And people are still talking about Trayvon Martin.
Oh, yeah, and they keep putting his picture next to whatever's happening at
correct.
The time.
And where we fail to realize is I keep on telling people Zimmerman was psycho in the first place. That's nothing new. So you can't blame race on this, but everybody is so reactionary and not proactive. We need to sit back and start changing things. But then you can't go act like a crazy person for the rest of your
life.
Huh?
They didn't blame race. If they blamed race on that, the southern border would be closed.
They did blame race on that. On Zimmerman?
Well, he was what? He was.
They said he was a racist.
Yeah,
Zimmerman was crazy.
You're just stupid. You're just stupid, and it had anything to do.
And he was Hispanic.
He was Hispanic.
Yeah.
He was Latino and Jewish.
Yeah, so they would have closed the southern border if they were
Jewish. No, because no one can see the southern border when they come up here and they take all the resources from your school district. Because they have to have ESL in every classroom.
50,000, they claim there's 50,000 undocumented young people that are going to be entering school this fall.
I don't understand how you become undocumented entering school when my child has to have a birth certificate when they walk in the door.
And a vaccination record.
50,000 kids hit the school system in 2 weeks.
My question is, how does that happen when I have to have I got to have all this kind of regulation to get my kid into school?
Because you're a citizen.
And you're not trying to subvert the Constitution and keep the progressives in power by bringing
over Eric, in South Carolina, your mics are on.
Progressive
and Tracy.
Yeah.
I've got a friend who's got a special needs child. The special needs child is going from the primary school to the elementary school. They made her provide what they call proof of residency, a proof of residency form. She had to bring in her light bill and, you know, the driver's license and phone bill to prove that she lived where she said she lived. Now, the child was in the primary school system. The records went from one school to the other, but you got to have all that stuff. Now,
okay, can I say ask a question? I want to know, help me out, how you can walk in with no driver's license, no birth certificate, no immunization records, and go to school.
They have that.
Wait a minute, let me finish. And my child, and don't speak English.
Well, that's the case.
And hold on. And my child walks in, barely speaking English, looks like they couldn't have been born outside of America, has to have immunization, birth certificate, proof of residency. How does that happen? Is there two sets of rules that I'm missing?
Yes. Yes, there's two sets of rules.
Yeah.
There's been two sets of rules for a long time.
There's been two sets of rules at least for the past 6 years.
There's a constitutional legal rules, and then there's the executive order rule that contradict it.
Well, that's what we're saying. You know, he, whatever he wants to do, he's just...
Right. Honestly, Obama is a criminal.
Well,
by virtue of his executive order that subverts law, that goes around federal law. So why can't we impeach him? Why can't we arrest him? He's a criminal.
Because there's not enough political. I told you.
There are laws on the books. Okay.
But
that were supported by the American people, the American government. He comes along, writes a little letter, executive order, that says, "Nah, we're going to disobey this law." I'm sorry. He's the president.
But let me ask this.
Hold on. He's supposed to set the example.
So why won't Congress go after him?
I would.
Because I asked you why Congress won't.
It's political.
That's the same
reason they won't go after the IRS properly, because they want to be able to use the IRS
when
the Republicans get in power.
Uh-huh.
They want to be able to use the IRS the same way.
So they've been doing this all along.
So Obama
more than a
thug in my book.
Oh, Obama just put it on steroids, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't as good at it as the rest of them.
Because people were paying attention because he was the first black president.
No. Because he refused to bend enough to hold the status quo.
No, he had the nads to say, "Hey, I'm bigger than the law."
Well,
the rest of
them have been doing this all along, that's what you're saying.
Well,
so why is it different when Obama does it when nobody else does it?
No,
I mean, Obama is the first president
to openly
defy the Supreme Court.
Hold on, let me say this. I'm done with the book now. And it says that the difference between Hillary Clinton had no problem with Bill Clinton having women on the side. What made it so bad when he got caught with Lewinsky was that he got caught. She was mad not because he was sleeping around and carousing with other women. She was mad because he was dumb enough to get caught. So are you trying to tell me they've been doing this all along, but the problem is they're mad because Obama was exposed by it and they've shown what everybody else has been doing?
Well, he's been caught doing a lot of things, but he also is the first president, to my knowledge, to openly defy – well, I shouldn't say that. The first president since FDR to openly defy the Supreme Court. Every one of his nominees on the Labor Relations Board should have been
vetted,
reworked.
Okay.
Because the Supreme Court determined that they were illegally installed.
But they're still there.
But they're still there.
Mm-hmm. So what was he supposed to do? Tell them they can't have a job anymore and make them go home and go back through this the confirmation process?
I expect my president to follow the laws.
But what I'm saying is, have you paid attention to the other ones that have not followed the law?
Nixon resigned.
Yes.
He got caught.
Nixon was held accountable.
Because I was telling somebody else, I admire Nixon. Nixon was a great master politician.
Oh, absolutely.
He was a master politician.
He got us out of Vietnam.
He sure did.
And he actually, I mean, if you read the stuff that the people wrote that were around him.
Right.
He could have contested the 64 election, the 64-60 election. The first election with Kennedy when he lost.
I think it was 60.
60. There was enough evidence that there
was
voter fraud that he could have contested that, and he didn't want to drag the country through it. And he resigned for the same reason, that he did not want to see the country drug through an impeachment process.
Yep.
I think it was a different time. Because you have to realize, Bill Clinton, he would never resign because he was too cocky to resign. He was never going to step down.
No pun intended.
But Democrats on average are more arrogant when it comes to that kind of thing than Republicans. They really are. If you look, on average, Democrats are more arrogant on matters of I don't want to drag the country through this.
Well, if you define arrogance of running for office while you're indicted, I agree with you.
Oh. They don't even step aside.
Right.
Yeah. Republicans
do a couple of things that Democrats won't.
What'd you say, Eric?
Well, I think Clinton was so arrogant because I thought up to the point that he realized that she kept the dress, then I think his attitude changed.
Well, you're seeing a lot. Clinton was smart enough to work with Republicans to get some things done.
But that was that during or after Lewinsky?
During, and actually there was I read somewhere and I can't remember where that Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton actually had a Social Security privatization plan in the works, and then the Lewinsky thing came up, and then right after that came Newt's affair.
And
the political scandal killed it.
Right.
I can't remember where I read that, but I did read that somewhere, that there was a partial privatization of Social Security in the works between Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton.
But Bill Clinton wasn't arrogant enough to say, yes, I did it, and I'm going to do it, and I don't care if you're wrong or not. He tried to hide it.
But that's not arrogance.
Pure stupidity, but still.
But see, we gotta,
that's honesty.
But you got to understand, Bill has been doing this all along, even while he was in college. I mean, Bill has been a philanderer. You know, he has a problem, and Hillary knew it.
Well, he just likes flowers.
No, he went to.
You got it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
that's a lot different than writing an executive order that says we don't have to follow federal guidelines
and
laws.
And wait a minute, but they're suing him. They're
not going to sue.
It doesn't mean anything. They've already filed a case. Problem is that by the time it gets anywhere, people will be in office.
That's a lot different. When you swear an oath to uphold the Constitution, and then write an executive order. Defying the Constitution, that is a problem.
But you're just not smart enough because somebody told me on Facebook here a little while ago that he's a constitutional lawyer and you're just stupid. You don't understand it because he knows what he's doing.
You know, I'm stupid enough.
Hold on. Can I say this? He does know what he's doing because guess what?
He
knows what he can get away with.
He's getting away with it. So exactly. Guess what? Who's boo-boo the fool now?
Yeah. But honestly,
because he's doing what he wants to do.
He's a lawbreaker. He should be arrested.
Okay, so you say that, but guess what? Nobody cares.
I care. Give me a badge. I'll march down there and I'll arrest him. And I hope he runs.
Yeah, what'd you say, Eric?
They say lawyers make the best criminals.
Oh, that's a new TV show. I just saw it advertised this weekend.
It's called what?
How to Get Away with Murder.
Oh, is that a Shonda Rhimes?
It's supposed to be same people that made Scandal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bill Clinton story?
No.
No.
Oh. The Whitewater? Oh. No.
Then be nice.
You know when somebody's going to testify against them and they end up dead.
I still haven't figured out how Ron Brown ended up in a plane crash with a bullet in the back of his head. I ain't figured that one out yet.
Easy. They were trying to protect him, and his gun went off
The bullet was in his head before he went up in the plane, and then the pilot jumped.
I think everybody
to
was
cover
dead.
It up.
I think everybody was dead before the plane took off the ground.
Hold on, wait a minute, Jeff. So they had wait a minute. So you heard to tell me that they were testing out drones.
No, I
would be more
I'm
inclined to agree with what Ben just said.
What?
He was dead before he was in the plane.
All the pilot, co-pilot, and Brown were all dead when the plane took off.
And nobody. Yeah. Wait, and the pilot didn't know.
And the pilot jumped out.
The pilot jumped. Did he live?
No, because the pilot was the assassin who knew how to fly a plane that nobody knows.
There you go. Just like
it's that simple, guys. I mean, it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. It's a duck.
When Scandal, I mean on Blacklist. Where they crashed that plane,
okay,
carrying those prisoners.
Okay.
Well, the guy that was what was his name? I forget which what character he was that the Blacklist was trying to kill.
Y'all watching Thomas?
I love the Blacklist.
Y'all got to turn the TV off.
I know. That's the only thing I watch. That news and biblical teachers. That's all.
Y'all got to turn the TV
all
off.
All I watch, but.
Oh, I watched this new series, The Strain. Oh, is it good?
You guys got to turn the TV off.
Tell me
oh, man.
It's not about blood-sucking worms.
I missed Hell on Wheels this weekend.
What is that?
Don't you got TiVo? Can't you?
No, I don't do TiVo.
What is Hell on Wheels?
It's a Western about building a railroad across Wyoming. It's been on for four seasons. Yeah?
What did you think about that car crash this weekend with Tony Stewart?
I think the kid walked out in front of him is what I think happened.
I don't think he did it. Yeah, I don't think it was malicious. I think it was just an accident.
I just looked at the video, and the way the other car was coming around with Tony Stewart behind him, I don't think he even saw him. I don't think he even saw him at all.
I mean, you got to remember too. It was at night, and the kid was wearing a dark racing suit and a black racing suit and a black helmet.
And the kid didn't know that he just hit by a car.
Well, he walked down in the racing groove. That's what I saw. What about you, Sal?
Eric, is that what you saw? I think
Tony Stewart, he's a cocky guy, but I don't think he would maliciously run somebody down. I just don't see him doing that.
No, I don't think so. Not even playing. Because, I mean, he understands how dangerous that car can be.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember last year, I mean, he almost ended his racing career last year. He got himself in an accident in a sprint car, and he broke his leg in, I don't know, three or four places. And he was out for the rest of last season. I mean, he knows how easy it is to get killed in one of those cars.
And this kid just did not realize that he was going down into a racing
group. No, he knew exactly what he was doing. He's 20 years old, and I think 440 said it. He was going to get himself on TV and show himself up as a big shot in front of Tony Stewart because he knew Tony Stewart was there and the TV cameras would be on. And
so actually the person that walked out to be charged with a crime.
Hey, did you hear about James O'Keefe dressed up as a Osama bin Laden and crossed the Mexican border?
No. He crossed the Mexican border going into Mexico or coming out?
Coming into America.
Yeah, coming out of Mexico. Well,
James O'Keefe crosses the U.S.-Mexican border dressed as Osama bin Laden.
That should tell somebody something, shouldn't it? But it doesn't.
Well, the farmers down, the ranchers down there are saying they're finding prayer rugs and
the border is secure. that the border, from a security standpoint, is stronger than it's ever been.
The fence is now basically complete.
Sheriff, so we got this beautiful fence right here. Goes all the way just about here, and then it just, I guess it ends, right?
That's the end of it right there.
And if you wanted to get under this fence, you just have to push it open. It's almost like a gate right there. Anyone can just get
step right through it.
Hudspeth County Sheriff Arvin West was our guide. His county, roughly 60 miles east of El Paso, straddles the Mexican border for 98 long miles. Illegal aliens and Mexican drug smugglers know the area well.
So do you think our border is secure?
You're looking at it. If you think four strands of barbed wire is securing the border, then I guess it's secure.
What do you think it would take to make our border secure?
The easiest, simplest way is put Border Patrol back in the border.
Sheriff West doesn't blame the agents on the ground. He blames the bosses in Washington.
You hear the rumors of boots on the ground and more agents. We've got plenty of agents. They just need to be on the border. Look around you. You can look miles and miles either direction, and there's not a Border Patrol agent.
We wondered, what if we crossed the river from Mexico into the United States? Would the Border Patrol catch us?
I'm James O'Keefe. I'm standing in Mexico, Guadalupe, Mexico, across from Hudspeth County, West Texas. I'm about to cross a 15, maybe 20-foot wide river and cross into the United States just like many illegal immigrants do. And we'll see how this goes. Not too challenging.
It's not even a deep river. He's walking across the river.
Yeah, and up to his knees.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, no, wait a minute. He hit a hole. Hit a hole and he went to his waist.
Hudspeth County. I don't see a single federal officer anywhere. No walls, no guns, no people. Totally peaceful.
I know
quiet,
how to fix
serene.
The problem.
Hold on, Ben.
I'm in the United States. Let me tell you something. If the president or if Senator Reid or anyone else tries to tell you that our borders are secure, they are lying to you. Because that was just about the easiest thing I ever did. And it may be difficult to get all the way from South America to that point, but crossing that river, no problem.
And if you don't want to get your feet wet, believe it or not, there's actually an old steel footbridge that crosses the river just a little ways upstream.
99.99999% of people in America does not know this exists.
But you got to understand Washington
there's a bridge.
Picture of how secure it is.
Does the president know about this that it exists?
Well, the question is, it doesn't matter whether or not he knows it here, does he care?
Right.
That's the question.
And I'm going to begin walking all the way to I-10, and we'll see if anyone gets in my way. It's a six-mile walk from where I crossed over the Rio Grande in the United States to here. We're at Interstate 10. From here, I can get anywhere in the United States.
Amazing.
When we looked on the U.S. Customs and Border Protection website, we were intrigued by what we read. The priority mission of the Border Patrol is preventing terrorists and terrorist weapons, including weapons of mass destruction, from entering the United States. Undaunted by scorching desert heat or freezing northern winters, they work tirelessly as vigilant protectors of our nation's borders. Not exactly true where we were, not by a mile, or two, or three.
You know, even the brown
I'm James O'Keefe. I'm right in the center of the Mexican-American border. And I see no Border Patrol. I see no security. Thousands of people have stood in my footsteps right now. They've come from South America, Honduras, Guatemala, and they've all crossed the border. And if they can cross, anybody can cross. And I'm here today to ask you, do you feel safe?
He put on an Osama bin Laden mask.
He's got a skirt on.
Nobody watching.
And it's still only thigh high. So.
Even the Browns defensive line is better than the, has more protection than the border. For the truth. I'm serious.
Am I missing something here?
I am, but I can fix that problem. Very simply.
That? Yeah.
Declare the entire border 1 mile Give it to a Rod and Gun Club.
No, Ben. No.
Yes, Ben.
No,
I'm with Ben on
no.
that one.
Actually,
Edwin,
no, one,
would
no,
be over.
No one would dare cross a,
no,
a fire zone.
No, they'll get picked straight off.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying do it to shoot the illegals, but
I'm saying do it to shoot illegals.
If they're,
I'm
trespass, if they're drug runners, maybe. I would shoot them.
How do you know the difference between a drug runner and an illegal?
Tattoos. When you got a cat coming across the border with his face tatted up with numbers and all kind of different markings and stuff, there's something wrong there.
You can shoot him just because he's stupid. That's why.
I mean, crazy. There's something wrong. Just like I heard a talk show.
That's just bad.
Sticks. What?
Oh, that's just bad.
Why is that bad? That looks like half of America.
Yeah, but that don't belong in the White House no more.
I don't know. She was stupid enough to take her daughter to a war zone, remember?
And get flowers?
And get, you know. Yeah. I mean,
Yeah. You're right. She should have been arrested for child endangerment.
Right. Either she's the worst liar in America or the worst mother in America. You take your pick. Which one do you want in the White House?
Go ahead. What we sing, Jeff? Ben's gone on a tangent.
That's okay.
Ben's on a tangent. Hey, the number 347-945-5229. There's no sun in sunny. There's no sun in Northeast Ohio right now.
No, not now.
It's raining. Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
That's right.
You know, that's like about the fifth song you've sung this morning.
I told you.
Punchy.
It's
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Like that.
That's B.J. Thomas.
Yeah.
B.J.
Yep.
Thomas
saying
raindrops dropping on my head.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Oh, maybe I was wrong.
Engelbert Humperdinck saying, "Say you'll stay until tomorrow."
Absolutely.
Say you stay until tomorrow.
So now
I
can
face the night alone.
Hey, wait, it's time for Tracy and I to sing.
After the loving. You remember that one?
That's Tom Jones, isn't it?
No.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
That's it. That's Engelbert Humperdinck.
That's Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah.
Delilah.
Well, sing. Delilah was, yeah.
Wasn't he the one
that was Pussycat?
Wasn't the one who was married to Dionne Warwick?
Who?
Engelbert Humperdinck.
It might be.
Yeah. Tom Jones also did Kiss, the remake.
Oh.
Prince. That was
it
pretty,
wasn't too bad, actually.
It was better than the original, to be honest.
No.
Are you serious? You know what?
No.
You know, but no,
it was good.
Hold on. You got to excuse Ben, because Ben got crazy music.
Well, I got Tom Jones' last album. It's
You get in Ben's car and he turned on the radio and he got crazy music. So don't. Views and opinions expressed by Ben are definitely not those of Tracy Winbush, Tracy and Frank.
Don't blame you, Ben.
What about
Ben got bad taste?
What about Ace Frehley and Gene Simmons starting a?
No, it's Paul Stanley and Gene.
Or Paul Stanley, I'm sorry,
yeah.
And Gene Simmons starting a football team in L.A.
Yeah. Well,
Jeff,
Bon Jovi has one in Philadelphia. So what's the big difference?
Are you going to see Bootsy Collins?
When is Bootsy? This weekend?
No, next weekend.
If I'm not working, I'd like to.
I got a nice poster of him in the gallery.
Who?
Bootsy.
Oh, but the name
from
is Bootsy, Bubba.
Something Funkadelic, right?
Yeah, he played with Funkadelic, but he was Bootsy. Bootsy Collins was his own thing as well.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather be with you, too. Yeah.
If I can get your love, then what's the telephone
bill?
How'd I do, everybody? My daughter tells me I'm the worst singer ever.
That's all right.
You know what? We could change the name of the show to America Does Not Got Talent.
I love you, chocolate star. I got
the gong show.
For your love.
The gong show.
The gong.
Yeah, the gong show.
We have a gong in here.
Where's that big hook? Where's that big hook?
No, we did a gong. That was the big hook was on Apollo.
Well, who was the host? I guess he had an interesting life.
I'm going to take a break because it's gone too far.
Chuck,
hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends. The number is 347-945-5229. This is Sing Along with Tracy in the Morning. You know, whatever song comes to mind, just give us a call at 347-945-5229, and we'll just sing along. See you then.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mart Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized.
I'm Willie O'Flores with your headline news. A child was hit by a car on the west side of Youngstown Sunday afternoon. The accident happened just before 3 p.m. on South Hazelwood Avenue near Austin Avenue. Witnesses say a young boy ran out in front of the vehicle. Youngstown police say the injuries are not life-threatening. Trumbull County Sheriff Thomas Altier, who has been the head of that agency for almost 24 years, says he will not seek re-election. Several other candidates have filed paperwork or announced their intentions to run for Trumbull County Sheriff. The finding of a toxin in the drinking water supply of 400,000 people in Ohio and southeastern Michigan a week ago is putting a big spotlight on how it got there. Scientists and farmers agree that phosphorus from agricultural runoff is feeding the blue-green algae plumes on Lake Erie linked to the toxin. Political leaders are calling for more studies to find out why the blooms are increasing and how to control them. But the number of environmental groups say it's time for strict regulations on the agriculture industry. For WSOM News, I'm Julio Flores.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment. Roholt Vision Institute.
Get to know Roholt Vision Institute, the premier LASIK and cataract center in Ohio, with offices in Canton, Canfield, and Alliance. We're talking with Jenna, ophthalmic technician at Roholt Vision Institute. So what's the first thing most patients say after surgery?
Wow, I can already see.
Their vision gets better that quickly?
Immediately better, yes. As the time progresses, it gets better and better and better, and then by the next day, you're usually 90%.
And it's not painful?
No pain. You go home and you sleep, and then the next morning you wake up and good to go.
And how long does it take?
About 20 minutes or so.
You had the surgery yourself. How much better is your vision?
Now I see 20/15 with no glasses, no contacts.
So in one word...
Amazing.
Roholt Vision Institute, specializing in LASIK and cataract surgery. Call 1-800-481-LASER or visit RoholtVision.com. That's 1-800-481-LASER or RoholtVision.com.
For more than 15 years, InfoCision has been a part of our area with locations in Austintown, Boardman, and Newcastle, and we stand out from the competition. At InfoCision, we value your hard work and reward you for it. Earn competitive wages, weekly pay and bonus, excellent benefits, and an opportunity for advancement, all with an impressive fitness center and doctor's office on site. InfoCision is now hiring call center professionals at all three locations in the area, a local company committed to keeping jobs in America. Learn more about the openings for full and part-time call center positions and our impressive benefits package by calling 1-800-210-6269 or visit www.infocision.com. Call 800-210-6269. 210-6269 or visit www.infocision.com.
Visit our open house on Thursday, August 14th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. to find out more about our employment opportunities. Find out more at infocision.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
one 800 530 WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Lord knows I gotta be true to myself to see. God's been too good to me to take things lightly. We all know that we've had better days, even when our world is gray. Trouble don't last always, 'cause when I'm leaning on my faith, yeah.
Back and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600 AM. Let's do this again. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. And you're in studio with, we've lost Ben. You can turn this mic down now, Jeff. And I got Six and Jeff here in studio. It is 49 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Want to hear from you today. It is open mic. Steve Stanley is enjoying the conversation. We've just been goofing off and just having some conversation. I was playing a clip on about the border. There's so much that's going on. I have a problem with leadership, and I think I started on this last week. We are not doing that which is necessary to get what we need to get done and wonder why things are not working as they should. Leaders don't go on vacation. I mean, and I'm just sorry. When you are the face of the country, you're going to take a hit. Whether you're a woman, whether you're a female, whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're tall, whether you're short, whether you're Dan Quayle or whether you're George Bush, whether you're Robert Nixon or JFK, it's the nature of the beast. And right now, things are not getting done. No one's doing anything. Our children are losing, and our communities at large are failing. Mm-hmm. We don't have any money. We're an amoral society, and we have issues. Good morning, Stanley. Okay.
Where's Stanley?
He's there. He's left. There's Eric, and there's in South Carolina. South Carolina, where have you been? You must be working awfully hard, making a lot of money.
Tracy, I'm gonna tell you, I finished my master's degree, you know, and I decided I was gonna do a doctoral degree. Well, a doctoral degree is a little bit different. It's a lot more intensive. It requires a lot more reading. It requires a lot more work. And the people that grade your assignments are more vicious.
Do you have assignments, or do you just have to write your dissertation and defend it?
No, no.
A lot more
classes.
Research.
I don't start my dissertation until probably another year and a half.
What are you going to have your doctorate in?
right now, the track that I'm on is going to be healthcare administration. That may change. It all depends on this next course.
I have a question for you, Vince. You said healthcare administration, and since it is open mic, and if anybody else has anyone they want to jump in and change the subject or go somewhere, let me know. I was talking about the Affordable Health Care Act. We were talking about, you know, we do health and wellness. Dr. Matt is really big into health and wellness and healthy choices. And a lot of young people, a lot of people are really into not so much of becoming a Western society where we fix the cure with a pill, but we're from an Eastern society where we believe in finding a way to not be sick. So if you're a diabetic, instead of taking a pill to cure it, then lose weight and eat right so that you're not diabetic at all, so that you can regulate your sugar and your body becomes more naturally healthy. And I said to them, because of the Affordable Health Care Act, the mandate of health and wellness and having independent practitioners is going away because we no longer can afford, doctors can no longer afford the practice independently. And so if they don't align themselves within a group and or within a hospital, they can't practice medicine independently. And there are groups out there like, such as Kaiser, such as who else has a group practice? But there are several groups across the country that have, you know, these groups of doctors where Cleveland Clinic is one. Mm-hmm. But if you choose to go to Cleveland Clinic, if you choose to go to Kaiser, that's your choice. But now, what happens to the independent practitioner if I like my doctor, he's not a part of Kaiser, or he's not a part of Cleveland Clinic? And just because it's Cleveland Clinic doesn't make it right.
That's the whole thing that's going
Tracy,
on.
Well, Tracy, in the case of some doctors that I know here, they're just packing it up and going home. They're done. They're finished with it.
But see, those are the ones that can. But I'm talking about your new doctors can't just pack it up and go home. I mean, I look at the pharmacies. When we were growing up, there were independent pharmacies, and you knew your pharmacist by name. He owned the actual pharmacy, and so some of you had credit. Some of you had. He would tell. He knew you. He knew your family. If you some of them, you could call up at home. So if something was wrong with you, he would actually just come out, open up the pharmacy, and give you what you wanted. Right now, Walgreens owns you. And yes, it's convenient because there are multiple Walgreens, but Walgreens is a major. It's a major beast.
Well, they just acquired a company overseas, and they were going to move their corporate offices overseas.
That's correct.
And you know, because then they would escape
the taxes,
all the taxes, mm-hmm. corporate taxes. But they're going to settle for leaving the overseas company still overseas, and then keeping Walgreens here, and but they'll still because that was so
they were
huge.
Shamed. They were shamed into doing that.
But my issue is, if I come out of pharmaceutical school and I want to become my own practitioner and have my own pharmacy,
mm-hmm.
I no longer can do that.
Yeah, you can. You know how they have hardware stores and True Value, and those are independently owned hardware stores, and they form a co-op. There's a co-op of independently owned pharmacists all over the country that offer services like home delivery of your meds and stuff like that.
Medicine
that
Shop.
Hands-on
no.
personal
yeah,
attraction.
Tracy, Medicine Shop.
Medicine
Shop is like the IG International Grocers Association.
There you
I know.
Go. There you go.
And what I'm saying to you is, if
and
I'm coming out
of
school,
for one of those
can you please let me say this? If you're coming out of school and you have $150,000 in school debt, mm-hmm. because you went to Ohio State for pharmacology, it's very, very highly unlikely that you're going to have the wherewithal and the means to go into your own pharmaceutical and even to join a co-op. Those that have joined co-ops, like
Medicine Shop.
Medicine Shop, Dick's, having a very, very difficult time. They're having a very, very difficult time.
You don't go right to owning your own. You go to
what I'm saying,
somebody
Mike,
who owns
Mike,
one who's elderly, and you position yourself to buy him out in 5 to 10 years.
What I'm saying, the ones that are elderly. The ones that are elderly, you can't even buy a practice, and actually it's difficult even if you're walking into an established practice anymore based on the insurances, because you have your companies. that call you up and tell you, we're only going to pay this amount. We're only so no matter what you're this is, if you're a part of our group and you want our people to come see you, we're only going to give you $20 per person. That's it.
It's more of the get bigger, get out. Problem with small, everything.
Smaller pharmacies cannot get the line of credit for the pills that they need to have on call.
But Tracy, it goes back to taxes and regulation that's killing all of the small companies in the whole country.
I'm with you.
It's the small grocer.
It's the small.
Yeah.
Doesn't this look eerily like the whole situation with the farmers?
Oh yeah, farming has been ever since the 70s. It's been get bigger, get out. I remember when I was a young man, small, my dad wanted to buy another farm, and the minimum loan in the 70s was $100,000, period.
And if he didn't need $100,000, he couldn't get a loan.
Right.
He couldn't get 50.
He wanted to buy like 55 acres and milk 25 cows, and they said, no, you're going to milk 100 cows or you ain't going in business.
And that's what I'm saying. What they're doing is they're making you either big or go home.
Right.
With everything, and I don't think big always works. Yes.
Hey, Tracy.
Yes?
Other than the point of trying to create revenue, what is the purpose of making people get a permit for a garage sale?
Revenue in hand.
Taxes.
Who has to get a permit?
Yes, other than revenue.
I saw on Discovery show that about the street racers, they were going to have a garage sale in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I think it was. And the cops showed up and told them to shut it down because they didn't have a permit.
They started shutting down the little girls on
lemonade stands
in New York.
I mean, it's go big or go home.
It's stupid because, I mean, they don't come out to your garage and inspect it. All they do is make you pay the fee, you get the permit, and you're on your way. It's just stupid.
But it's that way with everything. You show me a small contractor that didn't start out doing everything illegal until he got big enough to start buying insurance and paying his help.
Do we understand that? I mean, do we understand?
I don't know a single one. I don't know a single guy that didn't start out pounding shingles without permits Saturday afternoons.
Do you? What I'm saying is whether it be the pharmacy, whether it be the doctors, whether it be the roofer, whatever it is, they have made it so cumbersome, and I've got to take my break, to go in the business so that you can actually become innovative and be a player at this, where America is built on ingenuity. It's built on small business. And if you don't have the ability to be in small business, you don't have the ability to make America grow.
That's right. No wealth.
You cannot work with these major conglomerates because they're too far removed from everyday society. I got to take my break. I'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Finally putting new leaders in charge with an aim of halting the insurgency. ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
The U.S. has quickly endorsed the man just named Prime Minister in Iraq, Haider al-Abadi, who takes the job from Nouri al-Maliki, who did not want to let go of power. But Maliki was blamed for failing to bring Sunnis into the government and failing to establish a unified national Iraqi government.
The U.S. government is now providing arms to Iraqi Kurds who are starting to make gains against Islamic militants in the north. At least 6 people are dead after an SUV speeding away from police crashed into another vehicle in League City, Texas, southeast of Houston. ABC's Steve Campion at the scene.
Witnesses are telling us a whole lot more than investigators out here. They say a Dodge Durango was being chased by a Dickinson police officer and didn't stop and then slammed into an Isuzu Rodeo with a family inside. Witnesses say they didn't see anyone walk away from the crash. The impact sent the rodeo into a ditch, smashing into power lines, bringing those down.
Back up. Police in St. Louis suburb of Ferguson, Missouri, had their hands full as protesters left a peaceful vigil for a black teen who was killed by an officer Saturday and started damaging property. Businesses were looted, vehicles vandalized, police cars smashed.
18-year-old Michael Brown was shot after a scuffle with an officer. Police in Miami say they don't believe the fatal shooting of an Orthodox rabbi Saturday was a hate crime, but they're not ruling anything out. Police Chief Alfredo Ramirez.
On Saturday, August 9th, 9 in the morning, Rabbi Yosef Raskin, who had come down from Brooklyn, New York to meet with family, was on his way to temple to observe the Sabbath. While en route to the temple, he was heinously gunned down.
Police think it was an attempted robbery. This is ABC News.
I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information.
They had obviously researched every place, not just given me names.
Really? Yeah.
They found me a place for which she could afford, and it was magnificent.
We're now very confident that she's safe, and they just helped every step of the way, and I can't thank them enough. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, call A Place for Mom. This is a free service, and you can trust them to help you.
If you're struggling to find reliable senior living information for your mom or dad, then call or go online to get the free help you need during this turbulent time. Call now, 800-467-7530, 800-467-7530.
How to keep your personal data out of the hands of hackers. ABC's Richard Davies says there are some common sense steps you can take to cut your risk.
Among the most important things you can do is use sophisticated online passwords with upper and lowercase letters and numbers.
Creative passwords, long and strong passwords, secure computers, secure smartphones.
Adam Levin with the security firm IDT 911 says make sure all your devices have passwords. Also monitor your credit card and banking activity.
You get your credit reports at annualcreditreport.com. You go to sites like credit.com where you can get credit scores that are updated monthly for free.
Richard Davies, ABC News.
A rescue operation is underway off Northern Ireland after about 80 sailing dinghies were hit by a freak wave during a storm. Some of the boats have capsized. Others are struggling. Coast Guard rescue helicopters are at the scene. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. Now, during the Summer Spectacular Sales Event, find great deals on the full line of Ford vehicles. For details, visit your local Ford dealer or driveoneohio.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Do you find yourself constantly tired, or do you feel like your immune system is weak? Consider Super Immune Forte C1000 with bioflavonoids and Super D3. These drugless prescriptions could be a perfect antidote to help you overcome these problems. Contact Mason Wellness Center at 330-219-6250 or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
If your computer is running slow, go to MyCleanPC.com and get a free computer diagnosis. In minutes, you can activate MyCleanPC software to clean out the junk that may be slowing down your computer. Increase your computer speed today with MyCleanPC.com.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner. Who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, come stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Now, get me a supervisor. What's that?
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
State Farm, this is Greg.
Just calling to say thanks for the gift of bagpipes. I've always wanted my own set of these. And then we switched our auto and home insurance to State Farm and saved ourselves $825.
A lot of people do. Some save even more.
My wife was always coming up with excuses like, you don't know how to play bagpipes.
She may be right.
Save hundreds when you combine auto and home insurance with State Farm. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM and get to a better state. Average household savings based on 2012 national survey of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
We really need jobs. We've got to get the corruption out of our government. The biggest problem we have is ignorance.
Tune to Newstalk 600 for the latest local and national news. Only on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I've got South Carolina Mike, Derek, and Stanley's out there somewhere. He's probably somewhere working. Listening to Angie Stone, got Justin Stixon here in the studio with me. And we were talking about business before we went to break, and I was saying that about the medical system. I'll do this again. We're talking about the medical system, and I'm having a problem because I believe that I should be able to go to a large conglomerate if I choose to, but I also should have the opportunity if I want to. I should be able to go to a small independent practice. And the way we are squeezing out the small independent practices, whether it be medical or whether it be your hairdresser, whether it be your barbershop, whether it be your cobbler who fixes your shoes, where we're headed as Americans, this have and have not, the big and no little, I don't think it's very good for our future. And what it's doing is it's causing everyone to be an employee.
That's the plan.
And everyone's – because, see, if you're an employee, I pay you. And then somebody else comes into my – as an employee, let me say it this way. As an entrepreneur and an owner of a business, I am supposed to be able to set the climate that I choose for my work environment because I own it. And so if I choose to say that everyone is in uniform and they're going to wear red pants and they're going to come, they're going to be high waters, they're going to wear speckled shoes, and they're going to use, they're going to wear a khaki jacket. And if that is a uniform that I choose for my company and that's how we come to work, then it's my privilege as the owner-operator of that business to make sure that that is what everyone wears. And I'm not trying to find someone to come in from the outside, say, we don't like your uniform. And so since we don't like it, we're not going to quit. We're going to make you change it because of a regulation and or because of outside influence. And what's happening with our companies and with our economy now, you have companies and you have collective bargaining agreements and you have people who are making decisions for you inside something that you're supposed to be owning so that you no longer have control anymore.
I think the United States has fallen to like number 16 on the economic freedom ladder worldwide, where we used to be like number one or number two.
And for some reason, we think that everybody else has it right. When actually, you know, the cliche, there's a cliche that says, you never miss your water till your well runs dry.
Well,
we don't realize how well we have it here in America. There's a reason why people, you know, we were laughing and joking about people coming here and wanting to be in America. There's a reason why they want to be here. People drink oceans.
Mm-hmm.
Who goes 60 miles across a desert?
Well, who gets on a leaky boat and paddles with their hands for 90 miles?
Who does that unless they're trying to come somewhere that there may be opportunity? And we don't take it. We don't understand the opportunity that we have here. So we're allowing people to come in here and hijack the America that we have for their own ill-gotten gain. And we're allowing our freedoms to go down the crapper.
Oh yeah.
Well, I had an old friend of mine, an elderly gentleman, say that, you know, middle class has been hijacked because you're not truly middle class if you're an employee. The truly middle class are the small business and entrepreneurs.
And I'll give them that. But they don't want that. No one wants that.
Well, an employee is nothing more than a wage slave. When you boil it right down to it, an employee is nothing more than a wage slave. You have to show up when the boss tells you to show up. You have to go home when the boss tells you to go home. You have to wear the clothes the boss tells you to wear, and you have to work for the wages the boss sets for you to work for.
But when do we wake up and find out these people are not our friends? This is not how America works. America works on ingenuity and independence. That's what America works on. America thrives on independence and ingenuity. It thrives on allowing people to be free to think and to create.
The thing is, small business, to survive and grow, has to be nimble. And the big businesses want to place so much regulation in the way that so a small business cannot compete with them. The minimum wage is my perfect example. If you don't have a minimum wage, especially for teenagers, it gives a small grocery store or a small landscaper or any number of other small companies the ability to hire labor at a below market rate value in a trade-off. But there's a trade-off. Tracy, hear me out. There's a trade-off when a small business does that. And the trade-off is by hiring teenagers instead of adults, I have to deal with their soccer schedules. I have to deal with their football schedules. I have to deal with their band schedules. I have to hire half a dozen instead of just one.
I don't agree. And listen, the reason why I don't agree with a no minimum wage is because I know corporate America and corporate businesses and people. Let me finish. And small businesses, at one time you could do that because people were cognizant and they had somewhat of a fair practice.
But now they don't, Tracy.
But in today's society,
they don't
because of greed. And I'm talking about small business owners.
I disagree.
I know you disagree, but I'm saying people take advantage of people. People are not altruistic. They're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. Have you ever been
Let's really take this out.
I'm not talking about your environment. I'm talking about people overall. When I say 98% of African Americans, I'm not saying every African American who votes in that 98% is ignorant, because there are some people who are African American who are progressives, who are Democrat. They believe it, they drink it, and they are it.
Yeah,
so I'm not. So when I talk about business owners, I'm not talking about there are some out there who are good.
I think the majority of small business owners.
I'm not going to say. I will give you 40% maybe. I may give you 50%. But there is another 50% out there who will take advantage of people, just like with men and women. You have good men and you have good women. But we need to be honest about this. We have bad men and we have bad women. We have good You got good husbands and good fathers. But you've got some people out there who are not good men, they're not good husbands, they're not good fathers. They're not good mothers, they're not good women, they're not good people. And we need to understand that. And because society has groomed them, you could not take that and tell them and take the regulation off and think they're going to be good, because they won't.
But how do you separate out a teenager from an adult?
Let me say this. An entry-level position as a teenager, they don't need to make the $12 an hour that you're talking about. But there should be a minimum wage for teenagers, because that's how child labor laws got into effect. Remember, child labor is real.
Well, here's the thing. You're correct that there has to be something in line to, but I don't think it's minimum wage. I think it has to be law, and I think that jobs should have to be more or less on what you produce, what you're actually doing for the person. Because if you're sweeping up a barbershop floor in the afternoons on a Saturday, that is not a $12 an hour job.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about $12. I'm saying if you have $6 an hour for high school students,
entry level
wages. But you have to have a threshold, because somebody will give a kid a nickel.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But the thing is, some kids only deserve a nickel.
No. Listen to what I'm
saying. No.
There are people like Jeff. And I'm going to use Jeff as an example. He might get mad at me and not go with me tomorrow, but he'll be all right.
right.
But there are people like Jeff. Jeff will give, and Jeff will do for free. And I've watched people use Jeff for free and never take care of Jeff because they could get Jeff free.
Yep.
So they abuse him, and they use his knowledge. And as long as he was free, they had no problem using him. But when he said, listen, I've got to start charging you because I got a little girl and a wife, they'll go pay somebody triple the amount because they refused to use Jeff for free, because he was always free. People take advantage of people. People take advantage of teenagers. People take advantage of people. And so what I'm saying is, and so not to belabor the point, we really need to there needs to be a threshold. But they don't need to make them $15 an hour either.
No.
Because remember, our laws and our ways are antiquated. Some things just need to change.
Yeah.
No entry level.
There's got to be a way. There's got to be a way. Like Blind Mike and I have discussed this many times on here. There's got to be a way to give a kid a chance.
There is a way.
And you can't give a kid a chance at $6, $8, $10 an hour, because he's not worth it.
He is worth $6 an hour.
No, he's not.
He is.
Yes, he is.
Fourteen years old. If he's sweeping up, if he's doing the laundry, at $6 an hour, he's only working 6 hours or 4 hours a day, because you can't work any more than so many hours per week.
Okay.
You, because of the value of the dollar, you can't. Let's be real about this. The dollar's not worth much, and you've got to give him some incentive to come back. Now, if he's not doing the job, you fire him and tell him, go home and don't come back.
Well, here it is. You have to figure out what is going to be a plausible entry-level wage. That's the key.
Because in Ohio, $6 may get you somewhere. In New York City,
$6
will get you a bus pass.
Which is why we do not need a federal minimum wage. We need a state minimum wage.
That may be true.
That's
but
the only way you can
But you don't do like the people in Ohio who were dumb as a rock and put it in the Constitution and put it on market measures.
It's proven over and over again that overly high minimum wages destroy teenage employment. Massachusetts has the highest teenage minimum wage in the country, and they also have the highest teenage unemployment rate.
But again, and we need to understand that people are people, and there has to be. I know that you're a libertarian. You think that all laws should be thrown out. But
No, that's not true.
But when I say this, we could not put that genie back in the box. But we do need to rethink how we do things.
Well,
just like I was reading something over the weekend, they were talking about diapers. You cannot buy diapers with your EBT card.
But you can buy Red Bull.
Diapers are a necessity in the world today,
mm-hmm.
And diapers are very, very expensive. And there needs to be a way for parents who are trying to work their way through, even if they have a child that they shouldn't have, that to be able to get a diaper. I'm just saying.
Okay.
So we need to rethink how we do things because of the technology that we have.
Right.
But making a blanket. Because no adult who's working at McDonald's 15 years later should be making $6 an hour either.
Well, absolutely.
But why are you still at McDonald's 6 years later?
Because remember, we have educational systems that have failed us.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. So you got people locked in. But the thing is that doesn't change the McDonald's dynamic.
No, it does not.
So what we have to still emphasize is whatever you're doing, you need to start getting
education
besides.
Absolutely. But our problem is we don't want to give education because we don't want competition. And as long as I keep you ignorant, you will not compete.
Well, and another thing, too, you want a higher minimum wage. I stopped this morning. I got a sandwich at Burger King, at the same Burger King I always stop at. Used to be four people there. They got one there now.
And what some of it may be because of a work ethic, because they scheduled for and they got paid on Friday and they don't come to work back on Monday.
Yeah, we ran into that buying mattresses. Nobody bothered to show up for work today but me.
You understand? We have to understand where we right. And I don't want to go back in time because we can never put that genie back in the bottle. But we need to understand we have a problem with our ethics. We have a problem with our work ethic, with our management ethic.
Well,
people come to work and they are managers, and they treat people like mess.
Mm-hmm.
We have bosses and people who own companies who treat people like slaves and don't treat them as though they are valuable.
And we also have bosses that treat people very well.
But we have very, very few because of the new. Listen to what I'm saying. Because of a new society in that we're living in.
I think there's way more good people running small businesses.
Those good people are
now
working for someone else getting beat up by the system.
I mean, here, explain this to me. Explain the culture to me. Because here's the way a 4-H livestock auction works at the fair. Every kid gets more than market value. Every kid. And you know how that happens? You got a group of guys that usually meet on the day before the sale for breakfast, and they set a floor. And then they go to the commercial buyers, and they say, listen, we're going to set this floor, and this floor is, say, 20, 30 cents over market. So these guys go through, and they buy these animals. They dump them over. They eat 20, 30 cents a pound. You take that same group of guys, and you say, that's not fair that the grand champion got 100 times market, and this kid down here only got 20 cents. So what we're going to do is we're going to make a median thing here. Everybody has to get at least this much.
And what I'm saying,
and nobody shows up for the auction.
And what I'm saying is, this is what's going on. You're talking about agriculture and rural. I'm talking about urban, and then there's suburban.
Okay.
No. Based upon your paradigm and your environment. It's based upon your management skills and you're willing to give. And let me say this, Jeff, because if that be true, you would be further because people would have stood up longer and made sure because of you sowing into people and doing what you've done, it would be further. But because of the paradigm and because of the environment that we're in, we have a crab in the bucket mentality. Remember, most people hire down and don't hire up. Now, there are some smart business owners out there, but remember where we are right now. We're talking about the XY generation and millennialists. You got to understand what they have been taught entitlement. I deserve this even if I don't work. I deserve you to pay me before me to show up, not because of what I produce.
Well,
and that's exactly
you guys have lived here all your lives.
Minimum wage. You just
what'd you say, Mike?
Why there should be? You just made the case why there should be no minimum wage. They're an entitled, pampered generation. They show up at job interviews with mommy and daddy who do their talking for them. They need to have a 5-cent minimum wage out there. So when the kid says, ouch, that hurts, they learn to be their own advocate. But you see, the unions don't want that. The unions say, you know, you're a dumb butt, and you couldn't negotiate anything. You need us. And it's more of this wussification of this country.
Yeah, but
you don't
want to
work for 25 cents an hour. You look the man in the eye and say, are you nuts?
Hold on, wait a minute. Mike,
no trouble screaming right.
Mike, when you hear your name, I'm surely trying to – I've got to let Stanley in. Go ahead, Stanley.
But Mike, and I agree with what you're saying, Tracy. I wish we lived, like you said, in a society that bosses were not greedy, not doing this, being fair to the market, and it's not. It's not. We have many examples from the big corporation to the small business who have not been that way. If it wasn't for senators and people saying, we could take Lehman Brothers an example. We didn't know the CEO was getting paid $50 million every year. And when he said that in front of everybody who was working for him wanted to basically kill him.
I don't know why.
Stanley, let me say this. I don't have a problem with the man at Lehman Brothers making $50 million if that's what you want to pay. But I do have a problem.
I have a problem.
I don't have a problem. That's where we were wrong. That's where I was off the cliff. I don't have a problem with the owner making $50 million. I don't have a problem with the CEO making $100 million. And I don't care whatever he does. The problem that I do have is you have to have a way where I can go and hire people and pay them a fair wage and treat them right.
Exactly. And that's the part
and
that
what I'm
a lot
saying
of
is, so if I make
a,
Stanley, if I Stanley, if I make $100 million, I should not have to give you half because you don't like I make more than you.
No, you should treat your employee well, and if you make $100 million,
Tracy,
not forget
Tracy,
that you need to treat
them
well.
But well is relative.
Tracy and Jeff, you have lived here all your lives, right?
Most of the time, yeah.
Okay. Does Ruley Brothers have more or less teenage employees now than they did, in the 70s?
Oh, I don't know.
They have less because they have older employees now.
So they employ less teenagers. Why do you think they employ less teenagers?
Well, there's more than just the minimum wage when you look at grocers. The markup on groceries is a lot different. We need to really understand that.
Yeah, a grocer operates on about 2% profit
okay.
margin.
So when we were growing up, we had teenagers. They were bagging groceries,
mm-hmm.
carrying groceries to the car,
yep.
stocking shelves.
Mm-hmm. Sleeping floor.
Right. If you look at what's going on now and the competitiveness of and how things are bought, they're buying in from a distributor. They've got to mark it up. They've got overhead. They've got gas, electric, lights. All this is going into their profit margin. They can no longer afford the teenager. Even if they were paying them $4 an hour, they would have a hard time because right now, those women where we used to have those checkout jobs are now held by people in their 30s and senior citizens trying to supplement their income. It's a different world.
But also, too, look at what we've done with labor law. You can't hire a 16-year-old person to get on a 6-foot step ladder and wash a window.
And I agree.
That's just plain foolish.
Nowadays, the kids nowadays, they have to realize that being tech savvy is not an option anymore. You have to do that because everything is going automated. I mean, Amazon is talking about using drones to deliver packages now.
Packages.
I mean, it's
they have same-day delivery in some places.
I don't know how that would get done, but that's...
What, drones? Or
yeah.
I don't know, but you have to... we were talking over the weekend. They have, in larger markets, you can buy something from Amazon this morning, and it'll be at your home this evening.
Yeah.
But the times have changed. But what I'm saying is the threshold. there needs to be, like I said this before, there's a lot of things, even about welfare reform. It needs to be reformed again. Unemployment needs to be reformed again. Education needs to be reformed again. We're still working on the agricultural calendar in our education.
Right, and like you brought up with the EBT card. I have a WageWorks card, which is attached to a health savings account, and it knows the difference between a prescription and something off the shelf. So why not make the EBT card so it can buy toilet paper
and not Red Bull.
And toilet paper and diapers and not Red Bull and Pepsi.
And that's what I'm saying. And even when you talk about unemployment, or not but youth employment, if you're working at a McDonald's job and you're entry level and you're a teenager, yeah, there should be a minimum because people will take advantage, but there should be a maximum, too, that says that I cannot, and there should be a regulation because I can't pay Jeff based upon favoritism. I'll pay his daughter $14 an hour. She's the same teenager, but because your daughter, I don't know her, I'm going to pay her $10.
Well, I disagree. I disagree with you.
The problem is this.
No.
That's right.
Because I've seen that happen in the agricultural world all the time.
I worked right along guys that
were the cousin of the guy that owned the farm, and they're making $3 more an hour than I am. We're doing the same job.
Absolutely.
But that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
That's just part of learning
how to be a grown-up, right, Jeff?
It's your business. You do what you deem fair and necessary to do. If I'm hiring my relative or my best friend's daughter, son, I'm paying them a little more money because I've done that, believe you me.
But can I ask you this?
Yeah.
When that happens,
mm-hmm.
doesn't that squeeze out the ability for me to make it competitive for you? If you take that, let me say this. We know that women make less.
Hold on.
In some jobs.
Uh-huh.
And we know that African Americans make less.
Okay.
What do you think that would happen? What would happen with that?
Nothing.
Okay.
Because first of all, it's nobody's business what another person makes. That's number one.
I agree, but
okay.
They still find out.
I don't care whether they find out. It's not their business. It is my business. If I think that the worth of this person, for whatever reason, is more, I want to pay them more, and I'm not going to pay you more because I don't think that, you know, it's you're worth that, and that should be up to my discretion. It should not be up to the discretion of anybody's government to give a base of what's going on and or anything like that. It's my business.
And especially at an entry level position, because I can go now suddenly I've got some work experience, so if I don't like the way the system's working at this job, I can go get another one. We have to figure out a way to separate teenagers from adults. We have to figure out a way to give young people an incentive and the ability to get that first job experience, because without that, we're creating an unemployable class of people. We really are.
Here's the problem in America, is this conversation that we're having right now. See, this country was set up for people like us to go to Washington and fix these problems. We got a bunch of jackheads down there that are doing nothing. They're all on vacation right now. We're the only ones talking about this stuff.
Oh, yeah, they're kicking it.
Yeah, and that's true. But the thing is they're going to play this thing politically. And I explained to these people the other day how when you raise the minimum wage, not only does it knock people out the box, Obama's own budget office said, CBO said, it's going to
budget office.
Right.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, it said that automatically that you're going to. You're going to have a problem because 500,000 people are going to lose their jobs.
But see, this is what I'm saying, Jeff. I agree. I agree with some of this. But what I'm saying is there has to be a threshold.
No, there doesn't. It really doesn't. But the thing is we
Are they arguing about minimum wage in South Dakota right now?
No, they're not. But guess what? If you took the whole country
and turned it into South Dakota, we wouldn't be arguing about
a
minimum wage.
Yes, you would. Because people still need fair treatment. People need to be treated decently. They still need to have you can't make me come in at a dollar an hour.
Nobody's going to force anybody to work for a dollar. If you want it, take it. If you don't want to work for it, fine. And the demand.
But all things are not equal.
But the demand will drive it.
Not necessarily because
the de facto minimum wage in South Dakota right now is $15 an hour.
Again, it's still not all things being equal. And when I say everything's not. And when I say things being equal, I need to be treated fairly. Not equally, but fairly.
Trace, you're getting treated fairly. Get yourself together and present yourself. See, our kids aren't presenting themselves anymore. When I was a kid, I was told by my father, you present yourself in a professional manner. And this is what a professional manner is. You cut your hair. You wash up. You put on a clean shirt and clean pants and shine
shoes. Put a belt on.
Shine shoes, and you go down here and apply for this job.
Let me say this.
Exactly. If you go
I agree,
job,
but the perceptions of the perceptions of America are still real.
Doesn't matter.
The prejudices of America are still real.
So what? It has nothing to do with labor. Because black people do quite well. How many millionaires you think the GM has made in this town?
Quite a few.
Black ones. Okay? Think about it. There's some well-off people because of going to work at GM.
But would they have been there if they were not mandated for some fairness?
I mean, for fairness, but that,
I mean, if
the union decided the wages,
the union decided the wages. But I'm talking about when you look in the management level.
Okay.
If you look at the perceptions, I got to take a break real quick. But if you look at the perceptions that prejudices that people have still today, even now, and the inferiority that they have still today, do you really think that if there was not some type of pressure that they would still be where they are and we would be where we are? Let me take a break. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Unique. Individual.
Hello.
Oh.
Just you and me. Oh, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
It sound more.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, I get this. Oh, sorry, I'm not impressing you.
Just a little bit off the subject, but I've got an old friend of mine who's decided that he, you know, has become this brainiac because he went to college and he's basically. You know, he went to seminary, and they screwed. Well, he screwed himself up, you know. But here's the thing: he sent me this text back, wanting to know where I got my degree from. Okay, and I mean, this is he's getting ready to make a stab at me because he's talking about social contract theory, and for those, we'll I think social contract theory is. What's the simplest way I can explain this? Under social contract theory, you've got a set of governing rules and behaviors, okay? And those governing rules and behaviors are dictated by the people in that society, what they call rational people. And if you accept that as rational, then, you know, you accept those rules because everybody else in the community is accepting, all right. The problem with that, and that's under a democratic government, okay. The problem with that is when you have rationale that is irrational, it turns social contract theory on its ear. Because when you have rationale that is irrational, you get a situation like you had in World War II, where it becomes acceptable to kill Jews or homosexuals or anybody that does not look or fit into the mold that you want. That was the current rationale then, okay? So what you've got is, you know, he's saying that that's what you got to go by in society. So if everybody agrees that homosexuality is acceptable and normal, then that makes it normal. Well, we don't have a democratic government. We have a republic. And therein lies a problem,
exactly.
Because in a democratic society, the majority rules no matter what. The minority has no voice. That's not the way it works in our country.
All right, that's what happened in Egypt. Everybody talked about they want democracy. They didn't know what democracy was. They got it, and they hated it.
They hate it, yeah. And so you grasp at these theories, and these theories are just that. They're not fact. They're theory. They're somebody thinking. You know, that they're saying, "Oh, in a perfect world, this would happen." Well, we don't live in a perfect world. We have something in our society that will go and countermand everything that a man will do, and that's called a woman. And I think that's why God did that. You know, women, our significant others, have a tendency at times to keep us from getting into trouble. But when you operate on theory, it kind of screws things up.
Yeah, it's kind of an idea of what you think is going to happen and not what's really going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. What problem do you have of other people? Because I have no problem with homosexual. You could do whatever you want to do, whatever. They want to have the same right. What problem do you have of them having the same right? Without saying that it's good or not good or whatever, it's their life. They want to do it, do it. I'm not attracted to other men. I'm attracted to women.
Yeah.
And I'll say to my son and daughter, look, you be attracted to who you need to be. But you make it sound like because those people want to have the same right as us, that
Okay. No. Stanley, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, using this particular theory, anyone that has anyone that has an accent is dubbed substandard or subhuman. So we need to get rid of them. Okay, that type of theory devolves into something that's basically turns into anarchy, or turns into social Darwinism. If you know what I'm saying, you're not to this level, so you're no good.
Yeah. See, my pet peeve is when people tell me that. See, I believe in traditional marriage between a man and a woman. People say, "Oh, well, you're homophobic." Believe me, I am not afraid of homosexuals. Okay, I don't turn and run the other way when I see a gay couple walking down the street. That's being homophobic.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you in that part. And if they want to get married, I don't understand why we're still debating. If they want to get married, what's wrong with letting them get married? Let them get married. That's it. It shouldn't even be a debate.
Well, here's the problem. Where the problem comes in with that, Stanley, and this is this. You may not see this, but I
Thoughts and Sundries, WSOM.
This is a
Jerry
Griffin production.
Can you listen to Tracy and Friends? We are heading up about 15 more minutes, and then tomorrow, Stix and Mark will be here, and they are going to
tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
a special edition of Mark Knows It All.
It's going to be interesting tomorrow. Jeff, we're going to get to listen in.
Yeah.
I wonder if I could. I need to call over to Epstein's office and see if I can. We can talk about bankruptcy.
You can do whatever you guys want. I may not listen.
You're going to go partying tomorrow. I know. You guys are just going to go have fun.
You're
taking Jeff up there. When do I get free NASCAR tickets?
You ought to at least go to the grandstand concert when they had the country guys here.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're gonna get me. You're gonna get me and my wife a couple of tickets to,
no,
to Reba.
No.
See how she is.
No.
See how she is.
No. We don't do Reba.
Why don't we do Reba? We're gonna start playing Reba in the morning when you're
yeah.
not here.
We like Reba.
Reba McEntire.
We don't do Reba.
Mm-hmm.
Reba, what's wrong
I'm
with Reba?
I'm gonna play Coal Miner's Daughter.
No.
What's
so
wrong?
Open the show up.
What's wrong with Reba?
Let me see.
Well, I'll use man. When that's all God's here, that's what we're gonna play. Man.
No.
To get your coffee. Open your door.
No.
Tim McGraw.
Other than that, what are they good for?
That's true.
Green Grass Grows. That's my favorite Tim McGraw song.
No.
Where the green grass grows. That's my wife and I's dream.
No.
That, yeah, play it. That's our no. life dream. Have you ever heard it?
Cherokee people.
Oh, jeez. No.
No what?
Play Where the Green Grass Grows.
It's probably some slow mess.
That's not it.
How do you know?
Because it's my favorite tune.
Blue Gray.
Was gonna be something slow with a twang.
Why are you playing it over? You should have left it there.
No.
Yeah, it's got a really good. It's got a really good message.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Who's greeting people in their
now
office?
Now you're talking about slow again. You're talking about my song being slow.
Okay.
I like to pat my foot.
Okay.
See, you don't like country music. You like rockabilly. That's rockabilly.
Play a horse, ride a cowboy. You never know no one
like me. You gotta have something that you can pat your foot to and nod your head.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you
do
know
have,
what you, y'all listening to. That ain't country.
Yeah, it is. My grandma would tell you, I mean, my mother would tell you that this ain't country either.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's Tim McGraw. Okay, I'm done. I South Carolina. Who are you talking
to? You know
to?
When you can get it back over here to me? Today? Okay. Okay.
Tracy.
I think you better mute him.
Should we ease
well,
up, ease up
actually,
on his conversation?
You know what a zero bedroom looks like? It's a not a one bedroom. It's just like a studio apartment.
Uh-huh.
I may have one of those if everything checks out okay.
All right. Well, I'll take
can
it.
Can you get that back to me this afternoon? You got to talk about me. I need a copy of the Social Security card.
You know, I feel
right
vindicated
right
now.
Tracy, I feel vindicated.
He's just having a whole conversation.
Yeah, you better just go ahead and mute him.
Ooh, he better not.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
Hey, Tracy, am I off the hook now?
Yeah, I think so. That was pretty good. Hey, Stanley, hold on. Local call, good morning.
Yeah, this is Steve.
What?
I'm calling to find out, Joe. Was Devo on there today?
No.
No, she didn't show up today.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to know, Miss Tracy. Anyway, I just called to...
You
anyway,
need to make your move, brother. So you, I mean,
you ain't called to see me. You ain't called to find out.
You
nothing's going on here. You just called to see if Diva was on. That's all. You just want to say hi, Diva.
Diva on my mind. Diva on my mind.
Stanley, how you doing, Donnie?
I'm doing well and everything. I just want to come back to what, say, you said. I think that our country, like you said, is missing. We used to be a country of being self-reliant, like you said. But I think it goes all the way back to school. It goes all the way back. It doesn't just go back to the mentality. It goes back to the mentality that we want to live in a nation that we want to have more employees than having people owning up things. We want to have an – we don't have the entrepreneurship thing anymore. We have people basically, like you say, having a degree, saying, like, I have my bachelor's degree, my master's degree, whatever degree I have. I should own – I should have 80,000, 90,000, 100,000. But nobody sits with them and say, what are you going to do with your degree? You're going to work for somebody, or are you going to do something with that degree to construct and build something with it?
The society at large does not want you to own it. They want you to go get the degree and then come work for me.
I don't
agree with that. I think it's only one side of the spectrum that's like that.
That might be true, yeah.
Okay, because here it is. It is not to anybody's benefit for these highly trained people or educated people to just work for somebody because they have a degree. It's better... and the left people, that's what they want you to do, because they want you to work for somebody and be dependent on somebody. Well, if you know, God bless the child that has his own. If you have your own job, whatever speed you want to work at.
If you don't work for me.
You're competing against me.
You're competing against me. And secondly, I cannot control you.
I need to control you.
I'm the daddy of philosophy. You know that. I understand.
But Stanley, here's the problem I have. Most of what you believe in puts barriers up to people who want to have their own.
Absolutely.
That's where you and I butt heads. We agree on that point that you just made. But your political aspirations put so many barriers in the way of people who want to have their own.
Can I say this? And I probably could get shot for this comment, so make sure that if anybody questions anybody about my comment that I make now, tell them I didn't say it because I won't own up to it. The progressives of the country, on the left and on the right, have the same mentality.
Correct.
Of control.
Absolutely. Yay!
But
they're on the left and on the right. They're Republican and they are Democrats. So we need but see, people don't know that.
And they don't know it.
They don't believe it. And they don't subscribe to it.
There's a very good book by a fellow by the name of Jonah Goldberg called Liberal Fascism. And in that, there's a quote that says, "You can move a cart with 1,000 cats or one ox." And that is the progressive mentality. It's easier to control one ox and move an economy with one or two large companies than it is to have 1,000 cats running around driving the same economy.
Exactly. Progressive. We look at the progressive agenda. It can't work with small business. That's why they're so against it.
So, Stanley, so when we talk about this, people think that we're talking about Republican, Democrat. We're really talking about progressivism.
No, we're not talking about Republican. I'm talking about a philosophy. I'm talking about there's some stuff that I think I agree. There's some stuff that six even Jeff says. And I'm the first one to say, hey, Jeff, I'm with you with that. When it comes to self-reliance, I am with him. When it comes to not owning things, I am with him 100%. I can leave Jeff and say, hey, you could do the whole speech, and I would agree 99% of what he says. The thing is, the way we need to do it, that's where we have a problem. But the belief of saying that we need all to be self-reliant, we need to stop having people control us, we need to do it, because if you don't, like you said, you will become an employee, and once you become an employee, you're not having control of your life. It's somebody else who has control of your life. Somebody else has control of their financial life.
You don't have to stay an employee.
What did you say, Mike?
You don't have to stay an employee.
But Mike, you do have to. In society, the way the society is being shaped right now, they're building it to where you cannot. Right now, Microsoft would have a hard time becoming Microsoft.
Right.
You would have a hard time building a new engineering and or industrial plant on your own because you cannot go through. And Stick said about roofing. You have to do so much illegal before you get there that it's a crapshoot to make it.
Don't go, Tracy, you don't try to get an MBA contract when you're 4'3" either. You go find something you can do. There's lots of these tech companies that start up now and become growing. They hit the billion-dollar mark faster than Microsoft. Oh, excuse me, that's right. Facebook doesn't exist. eBay doesn't exist. Amazon doesn't exist. These are all companies that just started up in the last 10 years.
Again, Mike.
And it was one person with an idea. Angie's List was one person with an idea.
Yeah.
Again, you gotta hear what Angie went through to become her list.
But there's another thing
can be done.
There's another thing too, Mike.
And you and I agree on a lot of stuff, but how
could a group of guys get together and start a brand new U.S. based automobile manufacturing company?
They couldn't. So you don't go there.
Why not?
Because
you can't.
Too much regulation, too much safety stuff in place, and everything else.
Hold on, stop. I'm going to hang with Mike for just a minute because I got to go in about 2 minutes. But now my question is to you, Mike. But I'm good at engineering and car design, and
that's
I understand
right.
Hold on, and I understand the engineering and the mechanics, and I've got a concept in my head.
That's right.
That if I put my I have written this out. I have tested it in my garage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been playing with cars for a long time. I'm good at it.
Then you do what my friend Daniel did.
Mike,
he started
Mike.
A company building rolling chassis for prototypes,
Mike,
and he's a millionaire today.
Mike, don't
today.
Change the subject. Mike, I don't have that long. Don't change the subject.
But
why
just,
can't
I just
start?
Your
Mike, why can't I build my new company, my new automobile company?
Well, what do you think Tesla is? Duh.
Yeah.
Brand-new car company started right here in the United States doing electric cars.
No.
And everybody else is talking theory. They're actually doing it.
And how much government subsidy money did they get?
They got some. So. They got some after
and how much,
a while.
And how hard
but
of a time is he getting right now?
These sticks, they got
I got to go.
They didn't call in
the
talk show telling
the
what was
over. Tomorrow, Six and Mike will be here. But, I mean, I love the concept.
Mark.
Six and Mike.
Mike.
Mike Mangi.
Okay.
Hey, listen, guys. They'll be back tomorrow. Jeff and I are going to go on a
safari,
pretty much, and see how many non-matching colored people dressed and wearing people we can find.
Yeah.
Hey, love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless. It's 58 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock here on WSOM. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, I agree with you. There's some stuff that you cannot do right now with the regulation. There's some industry right now that you could do. You could start from the bottom, from Amazon. You could build something that you could own up something. Private labeling, you could make money. Internet marketing, you could make money.
Look at
There's many dimensions you can make money, and
yeah,
many
look
people.
Look at Eaglin Mocklin, Stanley. He's going up against NASA. He's got contracts to put stuff up onto the space station and everything else. He went and competed in a trillion-dollar industry with $1 billion he got when he sold PayPal, which he invented. He invented PayPal, and he took his own money, and it was tough. And the newspapers and the Wall Street Journal were all counting him out. He's going bankrupt. He's crazy. He doesn't know what he's doing. They said the same thing about Henry Ford if you go read the old newspapers from 100 years ago. This upstart competing against the major auto manufacturer doesn't know. He had a better way of doing it. He's launching rockets. He's got private contracts putting satellites up for the military Department of Defense. He beat them at their own game. He proved that you don't need a trillion-dollar wasteful government program to put a rocket in space.
No, I agree with you. There's many things.
You just
got to
pick
people...
and choose your battle, and you got to be smart. You know, Stanley,
and
most
you,
people
and
fail because
go
they don't know what they're
and,
doing.
And you got to go inform. So many people, I go to people, do you know what affiliate marketing is? No. Go find out.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one of the biggest ways to make money, and people have been making money so well. Do you know what internet marketing
well,
is? No,
Mark
we'll find
Cuban,
out.
Mark Cuban, who owns the Mavericks, where do you think he got his first millions to get started to become a billionaire? He was in network marketing.
Yeah.
Go read his story.
Yeah, internet.
Well, that's beneath me to go tell my friends to buy vitamins. Well, then success must be beneath you too.
Yeah, you know that's there's so many people that Frank Kerr. Do you know Frank Kerr? No. Go find out.
Yeah.
There's many people that has been, like you say, in the radar that you would never suspect that came from nothing, and in 5 years, 6 years, are able to say, if I want to get $100,000, I just have to get a list, and there you go. I can get $100,000 just like that, Stanley.
It's all attitude.
It's all the attitude that you have coming into it. If you believe you can't, you can't. If you believe you can, you can.
I agree.
That's why
but
I do take
it's
issue.
It's also putting yourself with mentors who are able to do the work. Go to people who make the money. Don't go to people who doesn't make money, people. Stop listening to people who doesn't know how to make money and listen to them and everything because you'll still be poor. Go to the people who are making the money and be humble enough to go there and say, you know what, please teach me what you got to teach. And listen to what they say. Don't fucking go against their advice and telling you go blue, go to the go turn red, and then you say no, I'm going to turn the other side. You just lost the guy.
I worked
if
for a
couple
of weeks.
Turn blue, turn blue. That's
when
it.
When I was 26 years old, I worked for a couple of weeks for a guy in Texas who was worth $80 million. This would have been back in the 70s, so that was a while ago. That was a lot of money back then for all the inflation. And I asked him one time, I got up the courage. I went to work for him because I heard he was successful, and I went to work for him for next to nothing. I don't even think I was getting minimum wage. I was just running errands. I wanted to be sitting there waiting for him to tell me to go do something. I didn't care what it was, fold paper. I don't care. I wanted to hear the way he talked. I wanted to see how he talked to people. I wanted to hear what he said. I wanted to see who he knew. I wanted to see how does somebody at that level conduct himself. And then one day I got up the courage to ask him, I heard you're worth $80 million. And he said, yeah. And I said, and I was struggling to put together my first million. I was in network marketing at the time 2 years, and I was wondering how the heck do you make $80 million. And he said, you want to know the secret? And I said, yes, sir. And he told me the secret. He said, you earn your living from 9 to 5. Tracy, are you listening? You earn your living from 9 to 5, and you make your fortune from 5 to midnight. You don't have Saturdays to go to the county fair. You don't have Sunday afternoons off to watch football 17 channels at a time. He improved himself. He had a job in an industry, which was selling parts for oil rigs and stuff, drill bits and stuff like that, which was a salesman's job. And hundreds of salesmen came and went in that industry because they couldn't succeed. And he worked at that and worked at it and became educated, studied that industry, and he found a company that had come out with a new quality drill bit, and he went and he positioned himself to be the rep for that drill bit in a small part of the country, did such a great job, they gave him the whole United States as a territory, did a better job, and they gave him the world. And he started with nothing. He was a high school graduate. But he taught himself. He made himself valuable to the marketplace.
Yeah.
Where he had hundreds of salesmen around the world working for him selling that drill bit.
Yeah. I agree with you. That part of please people read books also. So many people don't even read the book. They have the secret sometimes in the book. So many people don't even read the book. It's like, go to the library and get the – what was the last book you read?
Half the books you can get online for free.
Yeah, exactly. You could get a book for a dollar, Kindle.
Yeah.
A buck.
Yeah.
Could change the whole life.
Well, you remember the famous story of Jim Rohn, the great business philosopher who was broke at 26, 27, was a millionaire by the time he was 30. He went to work for a rich guy in the Chicago area, and the guy taught him the secret. And he said to Jim Rohn, he said to him, how much money do you have in your pocket? And Jim had 8 cents in his pocket, and he had a family. And then he said, how much money do you have in the bank? And Jim said he lied to him. He told him $100. He thought that was a lot of money. And the truth is he had about $8 in the bank, just enough to keep the account open. And he said to him, Mr. Rohn, did you have a donut today? And he said, sure, on my way to work, I had a donut and a cup of coffee. He goes, okay, well, here's what tells me. He says, you think there's a relationship between how little's in your pocket, how little's in your bank because you eat donuts? Because, you see, now I know you have money to spend as discretionary income because, it costs you a dollar a day to get a donut and a cup of coffee. Well, that's $30 a month. You can buy a book with that. And you can't tell me you don't have time to read the book because it takes you 20 minutes to go to the donut shop, buy the donut, and sit in your car and eat and drink the coffee and eat the donut. So we know you have 20 minutes a day to read. So you think maybe, and he said, so how many books have you read lately? And he said, none. And he said, well, you begin to see the correlation between what you don't read and what's in your pocket?
Exactly.
We all do it. And this is why when I hear poverty, 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 I would like to follow around some of these people for a week. You will see that they have more income than most people who go on to be rich.
Yeah.
That's one thing I agree. And it could be for anything from health to finance to things like that.
Yep.
You could go for every subject. You could say the same. Okay.
But let me hold on, Stanley. Let me drop a grenade then.
Uh-oh.
Wouldn't it behoove us to make them uncomfortable instead of comfortable?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with that.
Public assistance ought to be. Here's what ought to happen. You're an American citizen, Alabama, and Stanley, you're an American citizen. So now I'm the government. I come to you and say, okay, now you guys are turning 18. Now the first thing you have to do is register for selective service. Next thing you do is you got to register to vote. Now here's the other good news. Now that you're 18, Stanley, and Alabama, we're going to give you a lifetime public assistance private account of $1 million or some number. But just understand that if you stay unemployed or if you get sick because, you know, you're 200 pounds overweight, that's all you're getting from this government, that $1 million. If you make it to a retirement age, that money's yours. You could have it. But that's all we're going to spend on you because we don't have enough money to give some citizens $10 or $15 million for medical care because they become diabetic because they're 100 pounds overweight for 40 years. So there's your $1 million. If you never tap into it, you can have it at retirement. If you do tap into it along the way, just know if you lose your job, that's all you get. You get no unemployment. You get nothing. That $1 million is your safety cushion for the rest of your life. You know Stanley as well as I do. Guys like you in Alabama, you'd reach 65 and the million would probably be minus $3. Other people, they'd rip through that by age 28.
Yeah. Or other people smart would take that $1 million and say, fine, I'll do something and invest in and make it a million, will become 5 million.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that just sounds too much like the parable of the talents, don't it?
No, we do live in a culture, I agree with you, that I truly believe that I wish in school and everything you do tell the truth. I wish in school it was people like all those people from Frank Kerr, people who made the money, from people who did the thing that they need, they would teach the son and daughters the truth.
See, we had junior achievement and we had DECA and stuff when I was in high school back in the late 60s that taught entrepreneurism and taught what it was to start a business and how to go about it. Taught all that stuff.
Yeah.
And not that every student signed up for it. It was, you know, it was an elective. Some guys signed up for the basketball team and some guys signed up for the track team, but some guys signed up for DECA, distributive education or junior achievement or something like that.
That stuff wasn't even explained to us in school. I didn't know what it stood for.
Yeah,
we didn't know. We just joined the athletic club, and we'll sit in there and talk once a month about anything. You know, we talk about sports, and then we go, that's it, that's the only club.
Yeah.
You know, and then popular kids were in certain clubs. So
yeah.
Everybody would join the same club. It wouldn't be, okay, the future engineers or, you know, database developers. You won't have clubs like that. I mean, if we did, it was three people in there, two people.
Yeah. And the debating team and stuff like that. Most people thought that was nerdy, or the chess team and stuff like that. But you know,
I actually wasn't a good student. But when it came to like a lot of scholarly stuff, like little small questions, I was real good at it.
Yeah.
But I actually got disqualified on purpose because I thought it was lame.
I have a friend of mine who attributes being shot in a drive-by shooting is the event that changed his life for the better. He was a track star over in the Pittsburgh area when he was a kid in high school, and blocking a guy who was trying to shoot his brother on the street, he took a bullet in the lower spine. It messed him up. They said he'd never walk. Well, he ended up walking, but he could never be as much as he could be with track. And he said it broke his heart because he got accepted at Howard, and he also got accepted at Temple as a student. And the white coach on his team told him, well, you know, the white captain of the team went and flunked out of Temple, so you ought to just go to Howard. And it broke his heart because he looked up at this coach, white or not, as like a father figure to him, didn't think he was all that good. And so he couldn't go on an athletic scholarship, so he poured his energy into his studies. He accepted the acceptance at Temple, went there, worked his butt off, and when he graduated, when Deloitte and Touche came down, to recruit, he was the only person that year in the accounting program they took out of that school, and he got a job working as doing books. A white company didn't know what to do with a black accountant, but they figured it would look good. It was about the time when you needed to have color in your corporation, otherwise, you know, you didn't meet the quotas. He didn't care what the reason was. He worked his tail off, so they assigned him to a black account. called Philadelphia International Records, the ones that discovered Stevie Wonder. He kept asking questions of all the lawyers. They didn't know this. They didn't know that. And a handful of years later, he was the president of that company. And under his management, Philadelphia International Records became one of the 10 most profitable black-run businesses in the United States, including renegotiating all the record contracts that the artists to this day get. He tripled their income from their records. And it was all because of a drive-by shooting, taking a bullet, which ended his sports. Otherwise, he would have gone down the traditional black thing, go into sports and be disappointed there, you know?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured
basketball
players.
And he still lives in Pennsylvania, and he's a great guy. I gave Tracy his number. Get him on the show. Get someone like that. He is one of the most incredible people I have ever met. Whenever I get a new business idea or something, I will call him up, and he's very politically connected. I mean, he knew Bill Clinton. He knows President Obama. He can move in and out of the White House anytime he wants and everything else. He's a great guy. And every time I call him, I'll share an idea, and he never says you're wrong. He says, okay. He says, you got that part. Now let me give you a part where you can make it a little bit better. And he shares ideas with me all the time. And when I hang up the phone, I feel like I could go out and build a billion-dollar company in the next 2 hours. He has that way of making you feel good about you. He's a smart man. He's a kind man. And he's a generous man with his wisdom.
Huh.
And that's what Stanley's talking about.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing that I think in school we need. We need to have those kind of people that,
yep.
Yes, be a little bit tough, but be objective, be realistic, be telling kids, look,
mm-hmm.
What do you want to do?
Yeah.
You have a degree, master degree, whatever degree, fine, good. You got a degree, but what are you going to do with that degree?
Yeah.
And I don't agree when Jeff said, oh, all those people have degrees, they basically, they'll come to their boss. No, they'll become employees. I'm sorry. They'll go back to the boss and say, okay, I got the degree now. Pay me $60,000, $70,000.
Well, that's
what
South Carolina did. He went and worked his way up. He's got a master's degree now. He's in his early 40s. I hope I'm not giving out too much of his personal information. But he's already told me that, you know, it's already been worth more money to him. And his company, if they don't see his worth as he gets his PhD and everything, he'll move on.
Exactly. But that's the mentality that you're supposed to have. And so many people don't have the mentality because they're scared. They want to live to the comfort of having a paycheck. They want to live to the comfort of saying, you know what, I don't have to think about my money. I don't have to think about the financial thing. I don't have to think that. Let somebody else control that part. I've worked so hard, man. I've done this. What are you telling me that I still have to think about it? Because it's your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to die one day.
Here's what it comes down to. And this is the question. This is the question that everybody needs to ask themselves. And every one of these kids, somebody needs to ask them if they're smart enough to figure out the question. Who is going to benefit the most by your success? And the answer is you are. There's nobody that's going to benefit more, any of our own personal success, than us personally. Then who does it fall upon that most of the hard work to get that success needs to fall on? It's not supposed to fall on your mommy and daddy. It's not supposed to fall on your employer. If it's your success and you're going to benefit the most by it, it falls on you. Be the one to educate yourself, get your work habits in order, get your body straight, get your mind straight, get your work ethic straight, and go for it because you're the one who's going to get the most benefit out of it. Why should somebody else have a greater commitment to your success than you?
Thank you for that one. True. And it's you also who's going to decide what kind of salary you want. It's you who's going to decide what are you comfortable with. Are you comfortable being $50,000 a year, or are you demanding to be $250,000? If you're demanding to be $250,000, you can't just work 9 to 5. You got to do the 9 to 5, then you got to do the 5 to 12, and you got to do sacrifice.
Yeah.
And you got to change your whole mentality with the people you're going to hang out with. You're not going to be to the basketball game every day. You're not going to be the one. You're going to have to say to your girlfriend, girl, I love you very much, but I got to work.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
You got to be with somebody who's going to explain that and understand that and not drag you down and say, oh, you don't love me. That's why you're doing this. No, I'm doing this for the betterment of our relationship. I'm doing this for the betterment of me.
Yeah.
Because well, when it comes to a lot of women, though, a lot of women are so self-centered in our culture. Like, it's just
your whole universe has to do. They want to be worshipped, and there are guys that will worship them. So
and those are the guys that will never get ahead.
Yeah, they'll never get ahead. They'll have the greatest idea in the world, and you're like, man, that's a great idea. I said, man, I can't do it. That means I can't see my girlfriend on Saturday and Sunday. Are you not ready to sacrifice 5 years of your life and have for the rest of your life freedom? Or you want to stay with that girlfriend for 5, 6 years and stay with 50,000, 60,000, and then and when you're 60, 65, say, I should have.
Yeah.
Which one do you want?
Yep.
Which one?
I mean, you can see that with these wedding calls. Wedding calls are getting up to, you know, $50,000, $60,000 a wedding on average. There's people are just,
yeah.
You can get $50,000 for a wedding, man. You can get $50,000 for a business. I mean, that's
exactly.
Just.
Exactly. Take that $50,000 and say to your girl, oh, fine, we're not doing the wedding. They're taking that $50,000 and we're investing in a business that's going to be worth in 5 years.
See that? Let me tell you something crazy. Tell you something real crazy, though. I've seen couples that work jobs, but when they want a wedding and they spend $40,000, they'll take, okay, we're going to give ourselves 16 months. In 16 months, they will scrape together. The couple will scrape together $50,000 cash.
Sure they will. Because
I agree with you. I agree.
Because 16,
they, want
they do overtime, they sell stuff, they get it, and they spend it all on one day, which is stupid.
Because of their peer pressure, they got to have it, they want it, they can taste
they don't
it,
look
read
bad,
about
yeah.
it, and they pull out all the stops and go for it, and they don't understand what they just did was what it takes to become rich.
Yeah. But if you go to those same people and say, look, you need to go to this course, how much is it going to cost, Stanley? $5,000. No. I don't got that $5,000. You go to that course, it could change your life. You could have one idea for somebody who's making the money could change their whole life. I don't got time for $5,000, Stanley.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I've actually thought about moving to another country. I think very strongly about it. Like, Brazil is one of them I thought about.
Where?
Because Brazil.
Brazil, okay.
I actually thought about it. Like, I'm really – it's something I vacillate in my mind about every few months or so.
Good. Okay. Now, hang on. Before you go to Brazil, first of all, you got to have a cute butt, and you got to be into bikini waxing.
I only pay attention to my behind.
Venezuela would be a good stop on the way to Brazil.
But, yeah, I'm telling you, I don't speak Portuguese. That's one of the biggest things. I speak Spanish, so
yeah.
No, I'm telling you, I don't even have a problem with that. My ex-girlfriend, whatever, I don't know what I'm doing with her, but I had to tell her, look, I'm ready to sacrifice 5 years of my life to be rich for the rest of my life. It's either you're with me in the boat or you're not, but don't ever ask me, oh, if you're not coming to see me on Saturday and everything, and if I tell you I got to do some work, I got to do some work. Yeah, but you're not
the problem is, though, Stanley, and this is the problem. You guys out there need courses and understanding about being a man, because if not, you're going to have simping going on. Simping is a benefit to the government. If you worship a woman, if you worship a vagina, then you benefit the government. They want you to be like this because they don't want you to – because if you control that situation and say, you know what, I understand I love you, but this is what I got to do. I'm a bit – thing is, it's not really good beneficial to the government. Think about even in prison, like the prison industrial complex and child support, all these different things are set up a certain way. And the only reason that it would, you know, behoove the government to you know, it would behoove the government for you to be locked up. It wouldn't benefit them for you to be out free a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But I agree that we do need to have that manhood. Of course, it's a lot of men, because I know a lot of men who are smarter than me, more educated than me, had great ideas than me, but they didn't come to jack squat because of their relationship, because the wife or the girlfriend said, if you do this, we can't see each other, and if we can't see each other, the ultimatum came up. And some of them were good friends, and I said, look, are you going to live your life to the ultimatum of a woman, or are you going to live your life to your ultimatum of your life? Which one is it going to be? Which one is more important, your woman or you?
Right.
And I'm sorry to say, some brother would say the woman.
Well, I mean, but that's how women think. I was just talking to a girl. She said she dated a guy for her husband. They dated for years. She never once paid for a meal. She never offered. Never even offered. She said, if I date a man every meal, every time we go out, he's paying for every time. Every time. And that's the way it is with my grandfather. And he, all right, well, that don't mean it's gospel just because your granddad paid for every meal for his grandmama. I mean, for your grandmama. That don't necessarily mean that that's the way it's got to be for every man you meet out on the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sorry, the way that your grandma was, it's not the same way that you were. There was principle in the
I think it's selfish. I think that's real selfish. I said, you telling me if you see a guy, you dating him, and y'all in a relationship together, and you see him struggling financially, and instead of you helping him out, you going to tell him, well, look, I'm not giving you 50 cents. If we go out, you got to pay for it. Don't you think that's a little selfish? She's like, uh-uh.
Well,
I'm like, well, dang. I mean,
that's where I'm blessed. I don't have that problem in this house.
Yeah, I'm like, she should at least offer. I ain't saying he going to pay for it every time. I mean, you going to pay for it. I mean, if a guy, you see a guy, y'all go out two times in a week, and, you know, you're spending $125, $130 every time you go out sometime. I know that don't sound like it's possible. Dang. But it happens.
It happens.
My wife and I, we were together in the beginning. One day she came over and saw me going through some stuff at the office. She said, what's the matter? And I said, payroll's tomorrow, and I'm going to be short. And she said, well, how much are you short? And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you know, and I told her it wasn't all that much, but I was going to be short, and I would have to jump through fiery hoops to cash in time for tomorrow. She just wrote a check out of her account, her personal, that she used to put her paychecks into from the hospital. And I knew that I had a team player. We weren't even married at the time. Married at the time. We were just on our way out to go have dinner or something. And I said, this is a good lady because she understands. Well, the flip side of that is that same business a few years later was a multi-million dollar business. And she's been, you know, before she was disabled, we did a lot of traveling. Every 90 days we took a week off and traveled somewhere in the world. And, you know, we had a great life, you know. And that was the reward side of it. And I didn't begrudge her any of that because she was a partner. She wasn't female baggage, and I'm sorry, people out there, and you know what, women have male baggage, well, guys have female baggage. This is a journey,
and
you don't need to carry more luggage than you need.
And I wish a lot of men would listen to your story. That's what I call having somebody as your partner. I wish a lot of men would listen to that and say, if you don't got that, got a partner, you don't got a wife, you got somebody who's basically saying, it's my way or the highway. It's my word.
You got a daddy. You got a daddy's little girl that was raised her mother, and she's just looking to be handed off from her father to her husband to just keep her.
Well, see, you got a lot of fathers that don't know how to raise a daughter. That are probably look. If a man can't do this, don't date him. I'm like, well, you wait a minute now. You retired at 40. You retired from this. You retired from that. You got all this income. You make $10,000 a month sitting at the house. You can buy her a car cash.
Yeah,
you can give her 2,000 purses.
Exactly.
And a guy that's 25 getting out just can't do that.
And she was never extravagant. When I met her, she was driving a Chevy Cavalier. I just thought it was too small for the amount of driving she was doing to and from work. So I moved her up to a Dodge Dynasty. It had better crash ratings and all that. In the day, I'm going back to the late 80s, and that was my commitment to her. And she felt like she was treated like a princess, that a guy would care enough to even think about safety and give her a nice car that she really liked. She liked the Dodge Dynasty. And who knows, later on, a few years after that, she'd be disabled, and we needed a car with a large trunk for her wheelchair and everything else. But I'll tell you a funny story, Stanley, about her being my partner, my life's partner. This was kind of funny. This happened the day we went to go get the marriage license. We're at the county clerk's office, and she turns to me, and they said, that'll be $6, please. And she turns to me and goes, I'm not paying for the wedding license. You're going to pay for the privilege of marrying me. But, you know, up until then, though, you know, like I say, everything was a team, you know. So I remember giving her the $6. I remember I had $7 left in my pocket. And I ate no lunch that day. I tell everybody I paid $6 for my wife. That's the only time she ever did that to me. Other than that, to this day,
but what's the use in paying and spending all your money on something?
Exactly.
And then you guys get together and we're not compatible. I got a friend of mine now that is getting a divorce after 14 years, 5 kids.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So I think as men, man, we a lot of times we're our own worst enemy when it comes to women. We
yeah.
just are.
We are.
Because we don't step so hard. We worship these women.
I was 39 and a half years old when I got married. I had plenty of opportunity before that, but no, I waited for the right one. I selected. I didn't settle.
And that's so good because so many guys do settle. So many guys say, well, what happens to me if I don't got her?
Yeah.
So what? You don't got her. You know how many – there's more women in this world than men, first of all. You're
yeah.
the prize. If
yeah.
you don't believe you're the prize, you're done. You're done, especially in America and everything. You're done. If you do not believe that you are going to bring something to the table, that
yeah.
the woman's going to bring everything and you're not bringing anything, you're done. You're
yeah.
done.
Yeah. I remember, again, when we first met, she said, look, we're older. And I said, yes. And she goes, I've been married before. She goes, I'm going to give you 6 months to decide that I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. And if you don't see it, nothing personal, but I'm going to move on. I said, no problem. So we're sitting one night. The six-month deadline was coming up. We were in one of our favorite restaurants. And during the meal, she said, I got to tell you, she said, you're more than I expected you would be. She said, I'm going to violate my rule, and I'm going to give you a year to make up your mind. In fact, she's going to give me a six-month extension. And she had to go to the church that night to finish her annulment from her other marriage. And I said, okay, now that you understand that I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, because I gave her back her own words, I said, ask the priest what dates he has open in October. That's how I proposed to her.
Wow.
Yeah, so we had fun. We were older and we had fun with the relationship. And like when it came to the wedding, I didn't let any insanity into the wedding. I sat down with her mother, my mother, her father. My father was gone by then, and I just simply said, "Here's the deal. That day in October, October 1st, is her day. Whatever she wants is what we're doing. I really don't care if you think the napkins need to be folded backward and painted blue. If she doesn't want that, that's not what we're doing. We're doing what she wants. It's her day." And you see, you got to be old enough to talk. And, of course, we were paying for our own wedding. The parents offered to help to what limited means they had. But, no, we were paying for our own. It was cash. There was no debt incurred. I think the only thing that went on a charge card was the photographer, and we paid that off. We never paid interest on charge cards. And, you know, that's the way you do it. But we had an adult relationship. We weren't too infatuated.
Weddings should be almost free anyway. A wedding should be almost. I mean, you really,
darn well,
friends, family, the things that really make them memorable
yeah.
are free, practically free or few. It's not the meal.
Right.
It's not the decorations don't make or break the wedding. It's the
right.
the music,
right.
the good times. That's what makes it. But the all of the extra stuff that people barely remember is what makes it cost so much money, like the food.
Yep.
People spend I've heard astronomical, $15,000, $10,000, $8,000 just for the food. They want crab legs.
Yeah.
They want lobster, shrimp.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, look here, go get you some rice and some, you know,
yeah.
get you some small shrimp, get you a big bag, get them boiled, get them steamed for cheap.
Yep.
You know, they want to get the big jumbo prawns. They want, like, y'all, you know,
well, that's
y'all spending thousands of dollars.
Like, they'll hold it at some country club or golf course. And, yeah, when you look out the windows, you see a pretty scenery. But, you know, if you're staring out the window at your wedding, then you're missing the whole point of the wedding. You should have the curtains closed, and you should all be interacting with each other because you shouldn't have invited anybody you don't want to talk to anyway, you know. And you could hold it at the VFW.
Well,
a heck of a
most weddings I've seen, people invite people they don't like to invite.
Yeah. No. That's the
just,
thing now.
People that they cool, they're supposed to be cool, but then they talk about each other behind their back.
Yeah,
cool, but you really don't like them. You just want to show them that you're better than them.
I only invited one person, actually, he and his wife, neither of which I liked. I allowed them to come only because he fancied himself a dancer, that he was really good at dancing and stuff. And he was always a family member who was always in competition with me over everything. And Bunny was a dancer. And Bunny was a thespian. She did off-Broadway and stuff. She was an understudy to Susan Lucci before she went into medicine because she got to have a practical career, not just show business. So we selected for our dance, the dance from Dirty Dancing. The band was an old friend of mine, our best man. That was his former band. We used to play together years before, so they wrote up an arrangement.
to the song, and I almost died when the gal leans over and says to me, hey, listen, we worked it special, so we've lengthened the song for you. So it was like 7 or 8 minutes long of that dancing. Now, I was almost 40 years old at the time. That was a lot of work to dance that hard. And anyway, so we put on a show at a half, my wife and I, and dancing to, you know, the theme from Dirty Dancing. And so then it came time for people to start cutting in. Buddy made my day, and every penny we spent on the wedding was worthwhile when she told me so-and-so had whispered in her ear, I'm not as good a dancer as Mike. And that was the guy I was trying to blow his doors in. So, yeah, and it's the only time that it's the only time that we ever danced, because shortly after that, Bunny's legs gave out; she became disabled. But it was funny, yeah. So, yeah, there's lots of good memories there, lots of good memories. But it's a partnership, and even to this day, even though my wife is disabled and she is pre-dementia, we still get together twice a month and do the books together. We account for the money, and we do those as family decisions.
Oh. No, like I said, it's I truly agree with what you're saying. It goes back to you got to first love yourself, and then you got to choose wisely of the partner you're going to have. If you have a partner that destroys what you believe, if you tell her, look, I ain't going to be an employee, and I ain't going to be the 9-to-5 guy. I'm going to do it, but I'm doing it just permanently, and she has a problem and saying, oh, well, you're not going to be like my friends. She's not the right partner for you.
Stanley, let me jump in real quick. I'm going to have to leave it a minute, but I want to interject something and ask a question because it's something that's a paradox in my mind. Okay, if we agree earlier that poor people or people that don't contribute a lot to society should be made to feel uncomfortable so that they can start making changes in their lives,
mm-hmm.
then how can we conversely turn around and complain about a corporation that may not pay as much for an unskilled labor job where you don't really need a lot of qualifications to be able to get, like a job where you can walk in off the street without even a high school diploma, like and get it and wonder why do we complain if it pays $7.50 an hour?
Well, to modify your paradox from my point of view, Alabama, I don't think as a society we should make people receiving public assistance feel bad about themselves. I think we should be a society where if you're not pulling your own weight and you're not trying all you can do before you ask for help, then you should naturally feel for yourself. Nobody should shame you. You should feel like, hey, I live in a society where people do the most they can, and then if they need help, the neighbors will help out, the church will help out, whatever, the government will help out. I just don't think you should shame them into it. But then that goes into employment, and this is where Stanley and I differ on minimum wage. I think you need to open your mouth and you go to your boss and say, look, you know, $2 an hour to work for you is crazy. Here's what we'll do. And you need to be your own advocate, because this is another – see, minimum wage, Stanley, trains people to be sheep and employees. That's where you and I agree. It's an extension of that when high school drops you on your head with no skills to be self-employed – the minimum wage picks you up and says, here, you don't even have to open your mouth. You don't even have to be your own best advocate. You don't have to be self-determined. We're going to create all these little soft things so you don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to, you know, make a case for yourself. And that's where I think where the minimum wage damages people. And we see it now in employment. 60 Minutes did a great piece about 2 years ago. And then they replayed it again with a follow-up about a year ago. Kids come out of college and go on job interviews. And they bring their parents. And the parents do all the talking to the human resources person.
What? What?
Yeah, go look at it. The kids, and they had, like, the guy that founded Amazon. He said, and if I didn't let them bring their parents, he goes, and God help you, if you give the kid a bad quarterly review, the kid doesn't say anything to you. He hands the thing in his payslip to his mother, and then you walk into the office next morning, you got 8 irate mothers screaming and yelling at you. How dare you tell Junior he's substandard? My boy! Yes!
What?
This is what goes on.
Oh, boy.
I mean, this is what I'm saying.
60 Minutes website.
Hold on. Mike, the thing I see is that we have this cradle to grave. It's not your fault. We got to protect this low self-esteem. Everybody's
the winner.
Nobody loses in the game. Yeah, you can't all the kids get first place trophy. Yeah.
No, we have cradle to crib to playpen to grave.
Wow. You should have put in there. After playpen, you probably should have put cubicle.
Yeah, cubicle. No, for Stanley's sake, we'll squeeze the cubicle in there because that's his contentious point, cubicle. Yeah, yeah. Well, the playpen is their cubicle.
I'm not like working. You know what? I enjoy working with people that have that mindset, though, because I know in my mind, I know I have ulterior motives for being there. I'm not here for,
yeah.
I'm not there for, you know, to make a living and live. And I'm not going to go buy a $70,000 house, a car or whatever. I'm not going to do that. But the person that thinks like that operates, they take their job a little bit, I hate to say it, they take it a little bit more serious than I do. And I hate to say that because I try to do the best job I can, but I don't. I know in my mind, like, look, y'all can fire me. I'll walk right out of here, go find another job. I'm not going to shed a tear. I'm not going to be upset because I know what I'm trying to do. I have another goal. You got to live like that. I don't see how people come to work and think, okay, I'm going to be here till I'm old and gray. I just can't think like that.
But I told you it's because when you take out the responsibility of thinking, you decide what you're worth and you give that responsibility. A lot of people are comfortable with paycheck to paycheck. Because they think in their mind, I don't have to think about it, Stanley. I get paid $800 every week, and that's it. And that's it. And that's your life. Don't go complain. Say, oh, look at this guy. He has a Porsche. Look at this guy has this. If you want to get the Porsche and everything, you're not going to be able to just think, oh, okay, let me get the $800. You're going to have to, you know, go to your boss and say, what do I need to do? And even if you do get the degree, sometimes the boss will basically trick you and use it for your degree. And that's where I agree with you, what you're saying. You got to use that degree and say, "What my worth is more than $60,000, $70,000. I know you're using me, but I'm going to use you back."
Yeah. You need to become your own advocate. You need to know how to negotiate.
Yeah.
You really do, on your behalf. You really need to. What set me free, I was an employee for a number of years in a printing plant that had a sister newspaper. And one day, raises came out, as they did every year, and I was always got a nickel or a dime more. And after 7 years of being there, my pay went up something like 65 cents an hour in 7 years. One day, September of 1973, I was training four brand-new guys, all of whom were starting at more per hour than I was. I was in my early 20s. These guys were kids, high school kids, and they were starting them at more money. So I went to my boss, and I said, you're asking me to train them to do just one of the many jobs I do, and they're not particularly good at it, and you know you got a high turnover because I'm training these four. What happened to the three I trained 3 months ago, and what happened to the six I trained earlier in the year? They all keep going. But now I find out these guys are starting at more per hour than I was making. And the boss said to me, you are lucky you even have a job. It's because you're blind.
Oh, well, yeah, that would have been it for me.
Yeah, and I left. I was upset. I had given my heart and soul to this company for those 6-7 years I was there. I even missed my senior prom because they said they needed somebody to work. I was that much of a company man. And this job was, you know, by the time I paid for transportation and everything else, because my job was broken up in little 2- and 3-hour chunks all during the week. I had to go in the morning at 1:30 in the morning and work the morning newspaper for 2.5 hours. On Saturday night, I had to be there for midnight to work the Sunday paper. I had to work the afternoon paper at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and during the summer, during vacation time. So, you know, my week was all divided up just to get 30 hours in, you know, at this place. And this place was in an old train station. It had a huge clock tower. It was a couple hundred feet high, so it cast a pretty big shadow. And I remember walking up the street, and it was on September the 23rd, 1973, and I turned around. I could feel the shadow of the clock tower. It was that big. It was a couple hundred feet away, but you could feel it. And I turned back, and I had tears in my eyes, and I just made myself two promises that day. And one was that I could starve on my own without their help. And I was right because the next couple of years were really tough starting my own business. And the other thing was, as long as I live, I will never let another person tell me what I was worth per hour. And I've been self-employed now over 40 years. and I've made millions.
Congratulations.
And it was over a nickel.
You know what? I have a friend of mine from high school that he's a company guy. I mean, but he'll talk like he, I mean, he'll get into the, all the ins and outs of running businesses, and we'll get on the phone talk for hours, and but he never, ever pulls the trigger. But he's always there if I do something and it fails to remind me of why I didn't do, you know, I should have known better, or I didn't really study my craft. He loves that word.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, I mean, yeah, but at the end of the day, I'm like, well, I did do something. I did have a moderate level of success, and he's seen it.
Yeah.
So he was there when I was doing real well in real estate, and even when I had the comedy club and all the other things I did. So, you know, and eventually I just come to realize he's just the type of person. He's a company guy. He'll go in to work on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. They don't ask him. He'll go in and that's him. I'll call him with you. Yeah, I'm at the office, man. I'm just doing some stuff, doing some numbers. I'm just, and it's Saturday. I'm sitting like, man, why don't you put that time and effort in your own,
yeah,
you know, doing your own thing. He'll tell me, well, man, you know, I just, that's what it takes to be, you know, good. And I'm like, yeah, but you're making a million. You're doing all these because he's a luggage, a loan originator, or whatever. He's some type of guy that he's an underwriter, basically. So he basically just works for. So he's making millions of dollars for BBVA Compass Bank, and but he won't go out. He won't venture out. He will not. But he'll sit there and tell me. He's the guy I call sometimes to motivate me. A lot of times.
Yeah,
but he's such a negative person.
I have a friend up in Baltimore who had the same thing. He kept talking about starting his own business and get out of IBM. I'm going to do this. And one guy who actually was his friend said to him, look, you keep talking about this. Why not, there's the door. Why don't you just write your resignation? Here, you can sit at my desk and write it right now. I've got to go and do something anyway. And he said, you write your resignation and you get out of here and start that business you keep talking about, or I don't even want to hear about it anymore. He thought about it, so the guy's right. He wrote his resignation. And he wasn't a young man when he did this. He was 35, 40, and had family responsibilities and everything. And he is one of the most successful black businessmen in Baltimore right now. Retired and got a whole different life because that guy made him uncomfortable with just running his lips. So he then went out and started that business.
You know what? For what you work for in retirement in a company,
yeah,
you can halfway moderately succeed in business.
Yeah,
and you'll probably do 5 to 10 times better.
Well,
just in retirement.
They've done studies on, and again, I only know from the construction trades, but I imagine it's across the board. Whatever you do for a company, what they pay you, if you start a company doing that exact same thing, like if you're an electrician or a plumber, you will earn in your lifetime double what you would have ever earned as an employee. And that's out of the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Man, I don't see any reason why people don't think like that. But it, you know, it's just
don't care,
fear.
The fear.
It's fear.
Fear, the fear, the shame, the hey, going to your partner and saying, you know what, I decided to take it on my own.
Well, if you're gonna suffer, you're gonna suffer anyway, though. I mean, if you get fired, you're still gonna suffer.
Well,
yeah,
you
know,
right.
Well,
That boss hit a real nerve with me when he said, well, it's because you're blind. And I'm thinking, like, well, the one thing is I don't want charity. I thought I was pulling my weight here. And as it turned out, I was. One of my immediate foremen who answered to that same boss called me up, and he said to me, he said, by the way, he said, for whatever it's worth, he said, you know, and he told me about just one of the jobs I used to do alone for the company. I used to print the TV guides and get them ready for the Sunday paper. And I used to start at 7 in the morning on Monday, and by Wednesday at noon, 1 o'clock, they'd be done. He said, you know those four guys you trained? I go, yeah. He goes, it took them Monday to Saturday midnight to finish the TV guides. All four of them couldn't do what you did alone. So, that was the most expensive nickel they ever paid to somebody that they wouldn't give to me.
And that's the thing that I think a lot of people who are business owners forget. Yes. Yeah, treat your employee this, but don't forget, your employee could be your greatest source of making your business go super high. And it could be your greatest source of making your business go low also. I'm not saying that. There's some employees that you need to fire very fast because they're going to bring you down.
Yeah.
But there's some employees that you're going to have that are basically diamonds.
And you better treat them well, because they could be responsible for making your business five times what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the thing. A lot of people, I want to have my business. Okay. And then they start having employees, and they treat them like crap. But then they go get another person who you treat like crap.
I think the easiest way to get into business is to become self-employed. Then branch into a business ownership. You know, I mean, self-employed, you could, whatever you do, you just start a corporation, consulting firm, whatever it is, and just go with it. I mean, you get a contract, boom, there you go. Now you can quit your job.
Even if you
start one contract.
I had some interns here this summer, and two of them wanted to go back to Colorado, and they wanted to capitalize on the legal marijuana thing up there in Colorado. And they were there, and they started with this. Well, I said, "Well, when are you graduating school?" And they said, "Another 2 years." I said, "Okay." And then that, when you're opening your business, oh no, we need all this money. And this, I said, "No, you don't. You keep thinking you need all this money right now. If you had all that money in the checking account, in 2 years you would be completely broke, and you would owe all that money." I said, and I told them, I said, "The first thing you need to do is, the two of you need to each go get jobs working for somebody who's already doing what you want to do." Together once a week and have a mastermind group, the two of you, and swap ideas about what you saw, because otherwise you're going to repeat all those same mistakes those business owners make. The difference is they may have had more staying power because they might have had more money going in. But I'm saying go to work and apprentice for somebody and just put in every friggin' minute you can, even when you're not getting paid. Follow them around. Offer to run errands for them. Offer to come in and clean up after hours. Just learn as much as you can about that business before you lay down your money to open a business like that. And
yeah, that'll really upset me if that was my business. They did that too.
Well, you see, they don't know. You don't go tell them that's what you're going to do.
Well, no, I'm just saying somebody come hire.
But that's always
the
risk you have when you're in business.
You're right. And a lot of times with employees, sometimes you can kind of sense when someone wants their own. You could just, like when I had my own comedy club, I had people come in there that wanted to do what I did.
Yeah.
None of
them
had done it, but they came in there trying to work with me to steal, to do different things. Next thing I knew, they threw a comedy show here or there. It didn't go well.
Yeah.
You know, but they came in trying to work with me and tried to, so asking me questions. So how do you do this? How do you do that? You know?
Yeah. Well, when I had my own construction company, there were some people that I actually said, come on, let's go for lunch. And I took them out and I said, you know, you're too good to work for me. You should be doing your own business. And they go, well, I've thought about it, but I don't know this, I don't know that. And I said, well, the day will come when I think you're going to need to go on your own. And I kept them as friends. And you know what? As my company grew, I already knew what I had with them. They became some of my best subcontractors.
Yeah.
There's no reason to burn a relationship in business. You can't afford to keep your ego in your wallet. That's a very expensive, you know, currency to keep in your wallet. You can't keep prejudice in your wallet.
One of the things I find in business, especially in contracting, whenever I would do a side job or something,
mm-hmm.
I would have a contractor come in. He'd give me a rate, a price.
Mm-hmm.
I'd make a certain amount. And I had this other guy who was working up under me that was real jealous. At
mm-hmm.
the time, I didn't know what he would do. He would find out what the real price is
mm-hmm.
and tell the other contractor, he's making a fool out of you. You charging five, he's getting, you know, $9,500 for this. He's going to make $4,500. He's not even going to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I almost got in a fight with a guy over that one time. The guy called me up, let's renegotiate, man. You getting $10,000, man. You making a fool out of, you know. I said, wait a minute, you know, and then come to find out, that's when I found out about your boy telling all my business. But
mm-hmm.
that's what I'm saying. But this
and
is the guy
fire,
I was trying
did
to get.
Did you fire him? Did you?
Of
fire
course.
Him?
But this is the guy I was trying to mentor. I took him. This guy was making $7, $8 an hour at a factory. I took him. I paid him $600 a week after. I'm talking about no taxes.
Yeah.
$600 a week.
Right.
He would go. He would run to Lowe's, get all my supplies. Like if I was out of town, out the country doing something, I would call him. He would get the supplies. He would. Everything. I gave him like the debit card for not a debit card, but I put money on a Home Depot or Lowe's card.
Yeah.
Gave him the keys to the truck. He didn't really have to work. He would be at the gym 4 hours a day. I knew he was up there playing basketball.
Yeah.
And
the bottom.
But I didn't care. I was still paying.
Okay.
and he still stabbed me in the back.
Yeah,
but he hasn't made that amount of money a week since. When I see him now, man, I had it good when I was working with you.
Yeah,
like,
well,
yeah,
you
did.
Tell him, and you tell him, and that's the part of my mentoring you missed. You need to spread like that. Where do you think all those perks you got, like the truck and everything else, came from? Where do you think that came from? By the way, that's typical business. See, that should have been part of the mentoring. You go, hey, you got to do that stuff. Yeah. No, that's where I was very blessed, because I was working with adults, not little spoiled little kids like that. You know?
I mean, this guy was jealous over women. We'd be out of town, he'd get upset because he's just that type of guy. Like,
yeah, well,
I just didn't know. But when I first met him, what kind of warned me about him is that he would always brag about how smart I was and how he doesn't know many guys in Montgomery, Alabama that were doing what I was doing. And, man, I'm going to be there. He would always, every day, he's telling me that. I didn't trust him.
You got to watch out for those guys that are always dreaming and scheming. You got to watch out for those guys.
Yeah, because he's
looking
building
at the
me
clock
up
here.
Every day.
I'm looking at the clock here, and the kingdom needs the king. I got to go back to work.
All right. Well, let me
I got to go ask the queen what I'm supposed to do next.
All right.
Take care, Alabama. Stanley, if you're still there, take care, my brother.
All right.
Bye-bye, everyone.